Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
Sure, it's Friday night, but that is no reason not to tune in to NWCR Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time with Robert the Infidel Garding. Being around since 2007, we patriots have watched as the left and many on the right have done nothing to stop what is going on to destroy our great nation. Ideas abound with our society, but most are horrible at best. But there are good ideas out there if you know where to look. Join us every Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for a dose of reality from behind the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. That's NWCR Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday evenings, where you can call in at 646-478-5284 and give your solutions to what is ailing this country.
Red.
There will always be wars and rumors of wars as long as time lasts. And we'll always fight to protect our families and our home and our homeland. It's all for God and country, no matter what country we find ourselves in. We are all God's children. And God, again, we ask your blessings upon our troops and upon America, and we pray for peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And we ask that you deliver us from evil in whatever form it might take.
See the lies that you've been told.
think about us. When did we lose in God we trust? God Almighty, what we gonna do if God ain't listening? In a world like this, greedy politicians, present and past, they wouldn't know the truth if it bit them in the ass. Now tell me, what is truth? Have we all lost sight of common decency, of wrong and right? How do we heal this great divide? Do we care enough to try? To carry in the fight, marching in the streets with sticks and stones. Don't you ever believe words don't break bones?
Alrighty. Hello, hello, all of you liberty and freedom lovers out there. You are tuned in to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann show. This, of course, is your host, Lori Ann. We have a great show lined up for tonight, as usual, of course. I will be bringing in Valerie, my co-host, and pretty soon here. Lots of stuff to talk about this week, of course. Definitely, we're going to hit up updates on the latest with the Israel-Hamas conflict. It's been going on. It's definitely been a busy week, as we pretty much anticipated it would be last week. So we're going to have some discussions on that. I'm hoping that Jemana will call back in again tonight. I know that she planned to, but sometimes, you know, things come up. And so hopefully she'll make her way here, because I would love to get her take on this week's developments there as well. And then hopefully we can get to some other news as well. You know, because while this is going on and everybody's eyes are on that, then of course there's always other news to talk about. Steve Scalise bowed out of the House Speaker battle, and Jim Jordan
is next up in line to try to get the votes needed to be the next speaker. And an interesting article that I saw this week, California expands conservatorship to make it easier basically for the state to own you. Then the Democrats filed lawsuits for election fraud. So, you know, here we go again. It's okay for them, but when it's somebody that's conservative or Republican that files suit, you know, claiming election fraud, then that's just conspiracy. They're just crazy. Along with several other things up my sleeve to talk about this week. So, yeah, we have definitely have our fill of stuff to talk about for the next couple hours. Again, if you want to call in, if you're out there listening, call in at 563-999-3698, and you can kick back and listen. But when you want to speak up, then press number 1. That raises your hand on the switchboard, lets me know that you would like to have me bring you on in. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and bring in Valerie, my awesome new co-host. Welcome on, Valerie. Well, how you doing?
I am doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there. I've just been, trying to keep up on all the latest news. And, of course, can't possibly do that. What's going on? Have you had a good weekend so far? How's family life?
Well, this weekend I got to go camping without any myself and some people that I know. We were able to just kind of hang out and enjoy nature and company and ignore all of the politics for a couple of days.
Oh, you were able to get yourself in a politics-free bubble. I love it. Were you in a location that maybe by chance wasn't too cloudy to see the eclipse?
Yeah, so we actually, it was still pretty cloudy, but we were actually able to see it, so that was kind of fun.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, of course, here in Salem, you know, I was looking out, I was hoping, I'm like, can the clouds just clear up just a little bit, you know, at the right time? But no, of course it didn't, so it was not visible where I was at, but some people got lucky in other areas of Oregon where, you know, it looks like Crater Lake. I'm seeing some amazing photos. That, you know, it just cleared up enough to be able to see it. And so lots of people were taking pictures from Crater Lake, which is absolutely beautiful, of course. You know, and Crater Lake got some snow, and so you have the whole crater and Wizard Island, you know, blanketed with a nice fresh coating of snow, and then, you know, some thinner cloud covers. And so that made people, you know, the fortunate people there be able to see it. And because of, like, the thin layer clouds that just kind of broke up, you know, you weren't, you know, it was more easily viewable almost, you know, because you didn't, you didn't have that sunshine, you know. So, yeah, I'm like, I'm jealous of those people that were able to see it. But so, yeah, but I kind of anticipated that that's what would happen. That's typical Oregon in Oregon in October when celestial events like that happen. A lot of the times we're not so lucky.
Oh, yeah, I got home actually just a couple hours ago and still have stuff to get put away and this, that, and the other, but it's nothing pressing, so I'm not going to worry about it at the moment. I will deal with it tomorrow. I'm procrastinating for this evening.
Very good. Very good. Let's see. Before we start talking about getting into too much stuff, I want to remind the listeners and participants of the show of the house rules here. I think we need to remind people verbally, even though it's in the link for the show. The house rules here are very simple. You'll get your turn to speak and respond and be heard. So avoid you know, shouting and talking over each other and interrupting each other. This is audio only. when everybody's talking over each other, yelling over each other. That is not a discussion. It makes it impossible for anybody to follow who's saying what. So your voice level down to a conversational level. Try to give others the floor and try to, you know, take your turn, basically. Don't, you know, go on five-minute rants, you know, and not allow anybody else to talk or comment kind of a thing. So let's basically be adults here and act like it. No ad hom attacks, personally attacking each other, insulting each other. You know, we can disagree on political points and stuff like that, but, you know, there's no need to get ugly with each other here. I think we're all friends here. If you've made your way to this show, you're a freedom lover, you're a liberty lover, and that means, you know, let's have a conversation, let's have a good discussion. We all love that. And avoid it getting personal and insulting each other. And, of course, rabble-rousers and trolls, we will not hesitate to mute. I don't get a whole lot of trolls making their way in here a whole lot. But once in a while they do, and when they do, I am not hesitant to hit that mute button and exclude them from the conversation. And that includes the chat. And so in the chat room, if you come here, just to troll, you know, just to insult other people that are on, I am happy to block you from the chat. So just, you know, rules. These are pretty, you know, self-evident rules that I think that we are all here adults, and we should behave like that. So I just wanted to put that out there because I know things get heated, especially when we're talking about like the Israeli-Hamas discussion. It's been a very heated conversation on other shows this week, and so I know passions are high. People have very strong viewpoints on either side, and let's, you know, try to hear each other out. And like I said, that won't be the only focus, hopefully, on tonight's show, because there's lots and lots of other stuff to talk about. Valerie, I wanted to give you the opportunity. I know that you put yourself in a political bubble for the weekend. but is there anything before we get into national stuff, is there anything more local from this past week that you thought, oh, maybe I should bring that up on the show? I kind of wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about anything that you might want to talk about.
Well, I've just pretty much ignored anything local. I've ignored anything really nationally or locally basically for right now. I know that we've got IP3, Initiative Petition 3, which I think would be good to discuss on another time where I can actually get stuff pulled up and not be just going off the top of my head and my memory, which is going on it's been a busy week. So, yeah, there's some stuff with wind turbines off the coast down here that are creating issues. That's something locally that's going on. Obviously, we've got IP3 that's going on. There's some other local stuff, but that might be I probably should prepare a little bit more instead of just rambling and then people will be wondering what on earth I'm talking about and who the heck you asked to be a co-host on your show. So I will let that be for right now.
Well, I think I made a good selection. I mean, like I said, I trust you. You've proven yourself to be worthy of the co-host seat. So you haven't shown me any concern whatsoever. You're a great contributor. You're well-spoken. So just know that you're appreciated.
Well, and I would love...
Thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, first of all, thank you for that. I would love to bring up some of the local issues. I just want to make sure that people are getting accurate information and that I don't misspeak, and especially when things have been a little bit busy and I've just got back a couple hours ago and wasn't exactly planning on speaking to those, it might be best to wait till maybe next week and let people know what's going on here and things that they can do to maybe help out or things to keep an eye on in their areas. You know, oftentimes you see something happen in one place, part of the country, and then it takes place in another part of the country. And, you know, sometimes discussing how people are working to fight it can give other people ideas on how to fight it in their areas. You know, it might work, it might not, but it's always good to know what people are doing and to brainstorm a little bit and glean from others. So I just want to make sure that I don't misspeak tonight, though, so I'll make sure I have all that stuff ready for everyone next week, if they'd like.
No problem. Well, I'm just happy that you're still able to make it tonight, because I know when you said that you were going out of town for the weekend, I was just like, you know, well, let me know, you know, because I know things happen if you get, like, stuck in traffic or something, or, you know, things get delayed. So no worries, and you're excused for tonight because you're camping and not paying attention too much to politics.
Well, I was actually paying attention ahead of time. The one thing that I did keep an eye on was the stuff going on over in Israel. All the other stuff, quite frankly, it's nothing new. It is going to keep happening. If there's not something to discuss this week, there's going to be something to discuss next week. It's a never-ending cycle. One could spend their entire lives trying to keep up and never be caught up, because as soon as one thing ends, something else begins. But what is going on over in Israel, that's definitely, it's an acute issue that has very far-reaching consequences and is impacting a lot of people right now, and including our own country. And that is the one thing that I did stay on top of, just because of the gravity of the situation at the moment.
Yeah, it's almost impossible not to try to keep up on it, because it's just the developments have been, you know, numerous. Every day things are changing, what's going on next. And then, of course, I have a couple of clips if needed. I tried to find a couple of clips that kind of summarize, you know, what's been going on and that sort of thing. So before we get into that discussion, because I know that can take up, you know, the bulk of the show, I mentioned earlier about California expands conservatorship to get more homeless in mandated treatment. I wanted to bring this one up because I was like, oh, this is interesting. So SB 43 in California passed without any opposing votes and is part of a broader package of bills spearheaded by Governor Newsom to increase the availability and use of mental health and addiction treatment to get more of California's homeless off the streets. So that's kind of the thing. And then I'm going to scroll down to this article that talks about what's actually in this legislation. And let's see. SB 43, authored by State Senator Susan Eggman, Democrat from Stockton, reforms the Lanterman-Petras Short Act of 1967, a bipartisan bill signed into law by then-Governor Ronald Reagan and passed by a Democratic legislature to reduce involuntary mental health commitment of Californians at a time when warehousing of the mentally ill into ill-equipped mental health hospitals was the norm. Was adopted at a time when public policy was essentially to warehouse people that were mentally ill. The act established strong and important civil liberty protections to ensure individual rights are protected. Like many things that are decades old, it has long been time to make some adjustments to the law to address the realities we are seeing today on the streets, Eggman said in a public statement celebrating the law's adoption. SB 43 maintains a strong due process protections provided in the LPS Act while expanding the criteria, making a gravely disabled determination so that the most severely ill can get the help they need and the dignity that they deserve. So there's the fluff part about it. Under the new law, those identified by police or qualified individuals as dangerous to themselves, others, or even as unable to provide themselves with basic level of food, clothing, and shelter, as demonstrated by an individual's gravely disabled level of mental illness or addiction, can be put under conservatorship, be forced into mental health or addiction treatment. Updating conservatorship laws and increasing transparency will provide county mental health departments, courts, family members, clinicians, and people with serious mental illnesses and substance use disorders a more effective approach for delivering last resort behavioral health care. Those identified as gravely disabled will be held in mental health facilities up to 72 hours for evaluation, after which a longer 14-day hold can be carried out. For this second hold, individuals must receive court hearings within 4 days of receiving this hold to ensure due process. If this second hold is maintained in court, a temporary and later more long-term conservatorship can be initiated by the state. And then, of course, it goes on, blah, 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 blah. So this sort of red flags me. You know, so, okay, I get it. But, you know, the homeless problem is a homeless, you know, California, we all know, and here in Oregon and stuff, homeless is a very big issue. And yet I can't help but, like, knee-jerk react on this, making it easier to do the conservatorship for the basically the state to own somebody, making it more acceptable. And this is going to cost the state of California likely tens of millions, if not $100 million to administer this program, to expand this. That definition of gravely disabled, I think, has the potential to be loosely interpreted. And, like, who are the qualified individuals? That's also something I want to know. Who is a qualified individual that to determine that someone is endangering themselves or others and are unable to provide themselves with basic levels of food, clothing, and shelter? That to me, like, I don't know, man. You know what I mean? I just kind of can see that this would be ripe for abuse. Am I wrong in this? To be concerned about
this?
Well,
I mean,
what do you guys think?
Oh, I don't think so at all. I mean, all it says when the qualified it just says persons providing evaluation services shall be properly qualified professionals. May be full-time employees of an agency providing face-to-face, which includes telehealth, evaluation services, or may be part-time employees, or may be employed on a contractual basis. Have you seen some of the people that work, like, in county mental health facilities? Do those people constitute properly qualified professionals? Some of your, even those within the medical profession, we have seen people abuse their positions in those fields to make false reports, to, you know, force their personal beliefs on what somebody should do onto others. There's too much room for personal opinion on this. And when, one, they are denying a person their basic rights. I mean, these people have the right to make these decisions for themselves. And if they can't, well, no one has the right to take away those decisions. Even if they can't make them, the government doesn't have the authority. They have the power to do so, but they do not have the authority to say, oh, we don't think you can exercise these rights, so we're going to do it for you. That's that's not their place. I mean, this entire court-appointed conservatorship in and of itself, in my belief or my opinion, is a violation of Constitution. It's a violation of, even forget the Constitution, it's a violation of a person's right to just themselves and to exist and live how they choose. I mean, if they want to spend their life being a drunk or using drugs or whatever and go down that road, well, don't have to agree with it. You know, I could wish they get help. I can offer to help if I'm in a position to do so, but ultimately that's their decision, and I don't have any right to tell them, no, you cannot do that. And sit there and tell them that they shouldn't, but nobody has that right to make that decision. And if a person wants to go and take their life into their own hands or live miserably, yeah, that's their choice.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, you know, it's one of those issues that, you know, it's really hard because, yes, you know, homelessness is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. And with that, you know, a lot of it has, you know, substance abuse tied to it. And it's,
these are
I
problems
don't see
that
it
they
getting
have
any
created.
Better.
States
exactly.
have created these issues of homelessness. I mean, and there's always going to be, a state could be doing everything right and you're still going to have an issue of homelessness. It's just, and some people actually choose to continue in that style. One, you know, maybe it's because it's what they know and they're comfortable with. Some people, they like just being kind of nomadic. I'm not by any means saying that that is everybody, but there are some people that, you know, that's what they've chosen. But the state exacerbates the problem, and then they come in and they want to fix it. But the way that they want to fix it is by stripping these people of their rights. And where does it stop? The second they say, okay, you don't have the capacity for whatever reason to make decisions about, about safety and housing and food or all that. What's to keep them from expanding that? What's to keep them from saying, well, you feel that this housing is sufficient for you, but we don't believe it is? I mean, it opens the door for so many things. If you are not living your life the way that they feel you should, then this is giving them the power to come in and control your life because you're not living the way
exactly.
that they deem proper. That is the biggest issue. You know, and I'm not minimizing the homeless issue. I'm not minimizing the impact of drugs on people's lives and that people need some assistance at times. At the same time, many of them don't want it. Or they might think that they want it, but they don't want it badly enough to actually take the steps necessary to change it. And it's extremely difficult. And I'm not in any way minimizing that. I think, you know, having resources available, no problem there. But to come in and sit there and say, oh, we don't think that you're making good choices. We think that you are gravely disabled, gravely, what is the term that they used? Gravely disabled. That's not their call. Now, if somebody wants to come in and ask the state to, hey, can I sign over conservatorship? Sure, go ahead, let them. But to involuntarily, no. They are out of line.
Yeah, I just think that it's just opening up a possible Pandora's box here. You know, I realize the gravity of the situation when it comes to substance abuse and homelessness and stuff, yet I am very, very reluctant for making it easier for the state to basically own somebody. You can't make decisions for yourself. We think that you can't make decisions for yourself. We think that you're mentally ill to the point where you're a harm to yourself or others. That's what we think. And we're going to convince a judge of that, and then we're going to take all of your rights away and all of your ability to make any decisions for yourself. That to me is, I don't know, it's very concerning to me. I'm really reluctant to support this move. And with that said, I'm going to go ahead and bring in Mike and Gunslinger, who are both raising their hand in the queue. Thank you for your patience while we were discussing this initially. And Mike and Gunslinger, what are your thoughts?
One thing I want to add. Hey, Lori.
Oh, go ahead.
One thing I want to add real quick is that even – yeah, because people will sit there, when we say that this is a slippery slope, then people will say, oh, it'll never go that far. And oftentimes many times it doesn't. But what it does is it desensitizes people to this type of behavior from the government so that they are more willing to accept something later on that is similar or maybe a little bit more extreme in some other aspect of life. So even if they don't take this and run with it, it is desensitizing people to the fact that they have the right to make these decisions for themselves and the government does not have the authority to do it. They may have the power, but they do not have the authority. So on that note, there you go.
Well, it's Gunslinger. When I got out of high school, I was in law enforcement for 3 years. Okay. I seen these dope deals go down on the streets of Dallas, Texas, because I'm a native Texan. I just grew up right outside of Dallas, one of the suburbs. I seen this firsthand, okay? I drove a patrol car. I was a security officer. I was still in law enforcement. Had a gun, badge, uniform, the whole nine yards, okay? And I would deal with these dope heads that would go in there and smash and grab things out of these leasing places that we had contracts with, the security service. I've seen them right there next to a major mall that was in Dallas there, Redbird Mall, worked right across the street where my post was there. And I was aiding Dallas police all the time with shoplifters and people that were smashing windows and taking stuff because they were doped up, okay? Sad situation. There's no doubt about it. I do agree. That's the mental play. They're mentally ill. There's no doubt about it. Mentally ill people, severe mentally ill people, should be locked up. Okay, not only for their own safety. Okay, because they could definitely harm themselves, but for the safety of others. Now, you know, you could, for example, you know, if I wanted to take a walk down there and down the street to Dallas, Dallas is getting pretty bad now anyway, as any major city is. If I'm there with my wife or my girlfriend or my kids or whatever, if I had that, and I'm walking in one of these parks here and one of these deranged, mentally ill, homeless persons jumps out and pulls a knife on me, or wants to rape my wife or my girlfriend or my dog, they're not going to live very long because I carry a very nice little 9mm, okay, and they won't go to the hospital. They'll go to the morgue, okay, because they should have been dealt with. They should have been apprehended and put into a mental institution because that's where they're most safest. And there's bad good on both sides. There's no doubt about that. Okay, I totally agree. But do you want some mentally deranged person and doped up on dope running around with knives or guns, for God's sakes? And they do it all the time. You know that. I mean, do you want to walk? Would you want to walk down a nice park and know that somebody might poof, come out of the bushes like that and get your ass? I wouldn't think so. Is there a utopian? No. Is there a utopian society? No. Are you going to be able to clear or cure a mental illness? I doubt. Not very, very, very long time. Okay. And it's especially bad with our veterans that are being treated like garbage. okay? They're having to sleep out in the streets and under bridges and all kinds of crap when we're letting all these people across the southern border and treating them like they were royalty. I mean, which one's going to get better treatment? Which one should we treat better? Our veterans that fought for this country, and they, and because of that fighting, okay, they got PTSD or whatever that is, and shell-shocked and all this stuff. That's the government's fault. The government sent them over there. They didn't go voluntarily. Maybe some of them did. But when they had the draft, you didn't have no choice, especially in Vietnam. And I know of a couple of Vietnam survivors that survived that ordeal. And they're screwed up in the head for the rest of their life, okay, because they have mental illness, because they got shell-shocked and, you know, behind the lines and killed people. I know one guy that was over there, he probably killed a couple hundred people over there. Easy. Behind-the-line sniper, okay? Knocked off a bunch of people over there. And he's mentally ill to this day because of that. Before he went over there, he was a school teacher. He taught school. All kind of, man, he was up, you know, had the world by the you know what. But now he's mentally ill. He can barely take care of himself. See my point?
Go ahead.
So I don't know that.
Go ahead. Just real quick. You bring up a good point because I can see a law like this targeting certain people unjustifiably.
Mhm. Yeah, I can see it too. Hello?
Lorianne, we can't hear you.
Oh,
where
Lorianne.
Did she go?
Lorianne.
Come out wherever you are.
There is a problem at the moment, so I will go ahead and wait until she gets a hold of me, or we can go ahead and carry on the conversation and go from there. Until she gets this figured out. But I have a quick question on, so I mean, I don't disagree that some of, there are some people with severe mental health issues that are a danger to others. But I don't know that they should just be, I don't know that a conservatorship should be granted necessarily just because of that. I mean, if they are somebody that is harassing someone, stalking, making threats, or if they commit some sort of crime against another person, then, you know, then there's a process for that. And I think one of the places that the system, the judicial system, fails in that is that, one, they don't take violations of stalking orders or restraining orders seriously. And oftentimes when somebody is arrested on, you know, maybe it's a crime of menacing or attempted whatever, they're released relatively immediately. If they're showing signs of, okay, hey, we think that there's something more going on with this person, whether it is drug-induced psychosis or there are mental issues, let's request the court that they be evaluated, and we go from there, so that there is still a process, so that this individual's rights aren't just being trampled on. And, I mean, may not like it, but everybody has those rights to due process. What are your thoughts?
Well, unfortunately, the judicials, unfortunately, because I know about this, because like I said, I was in law enforcement, the judicial system today sucks.
Yes,
plain and simple. Okay, the entire thing should be dismantled and rebuilt. Okay, because they let these people out, they let these people just go on with this to slap on the wrist. Little Johnny, don't you do that? I know you had your fingers in the nookie jar, but no, you're gonna slap you on the hand now. You go about your business. Okay, that ain't gonna work. Okay, it's just like these people that the mass shooters and the people that have shot up schools, they've fallen through their system. There were signs on, I'd say, 95% of, take for example, the school shootings. There were signs, I mean, that dates back, you know, a number of years oh, this guy was threatening people in school, and he was a bully, and he threatened to kill this person, and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, he's got a legally acquired gun, which I'm all for the Second Amendment, no doubt about it. That's why I'm called the gunslinger. Okay, I've had a gun. I was damn near born with a gun in one hand and a pair of wire cutters in the other hand because I'm an electrician, retired electrician. Okay, but you know, it's something has got to be done because it's growing exponentially every day. Right here, I think it was a day. Or yesterday at the state fair, we got the state fair going on right now, okay, the Texas State Fair, just there in Dallas. Fair. Three people were shot at a food court at the state fair, for God's sakes, okay? Now, who did it? They got somebody in custody, according to Dallas PD, okay? It'll be interesting to find out who it is, okay? Some illegal, probably. I'm betting my money on that, okay, especially in that area, okay? So you're not even safe from these mentally deranged people at a state fair. You're state fair, for God's sakes. I used to go over there years ago when I was a kid. And, man, you'd have to worry about that. You'd have to worry about, let's go through metal detectors and make sure everybody, pat down everybody and make sure there ain't nobody got any weapons on them or anything. Now you got three people shot. Isn't that lovely?
Well, I want to give Mike an opportunity here. Just a second, but quick question before I go to Mike. So is the solution, though, so we know that a big part of the problem is within the judicial system. I mean, it just lets people continue to offend and reoffend and reoffend. So is the issue, I mean, if we know we have the issue there, why instead go after something that is a violation of people's rights instead of correcting the judicial system and the way that what's taking place? I mean, the way I see it, the answer isn't to ignore this problem, not address it, and then instead create a solution that is actually going to violate individuals' rights and has huge potential for abuse and misuse.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I struggle. I mean, we do that so many times. Oftentimes the government will sit there and say, well, this sounds good. This is for your safety. And so we're going to impose this. And that's what I see this doing is it sounds good. It makes people think that, hey, we're actually going to do something about the problem. It's a way to get these people that are dangerous off the streets, completely ignoring the fact that they're violating individuals' rights, the fact that there are going to be people caught up in this process who do not deserve to be by any standard, instead of fixing the actual system.
Well, let me try to answer that. Yeah,
makes
sense.
And then if you want to answer in about just a couple minutes so we can give Mike a turn, that would be great.
So Mike, you're up next. The problem is because as long as we're going to have liberal judges and liberal court systems, I don't think it's ever going to change, okay? This is the problem with these liberal court systems and judges, because they go in there and these people are known criminals. They know that they have mental illness, but yet they give them a slap on the wrist and let them go again, right back out here in society, okay? That's called being caught between a rock and a hard place. Yeah, on one hand, yeah, they might violate the rights and they might do this and do that. But then you got to look at it in the realistic world is, well, would you rather be dead? Okay, because they keep releasing these criminals and these people that obviously have mental illnesses and drug addiction and all this stuff. One of these days, and it ain't going to be probably very long, that they're going to meet somebody on the street and it's got a gun and it's going to end them right there. So which one would you rather have? You know, it's a rock between a rock and a hard place. You know what I mean?
I don't think that we can sacrifice individual rights. I mean, at any, I don't think that we can do it. We can't afford to, because when we can justify sacrificing the rights of some in one situation, then at some point it's going to impact us as well. And I mean, just if I want if I want my rights recognized and respected, I have to recognize and respect and value the rights of other people, even if I don't agree with them. Even I cannot find any justification for sacrificing an individual's rights, not even under the guise of safety. And I'll zip it on that one and let Mike have a turn.
But then again, ladies and gentlemen, when you've got states like New York who shut down all the nut houses, all the mental hospitals, where, you know, even if you had the law, where are you going to put them? All right? Even if you want to get them help, where are you going to get them help at? You know, we have states doing that. Now, we're talking about the conservative system. There's been a relatively high-profile case of this thing that just got settled, and this person got freed from the conservatorship, and that is the whole Britney Spears situation, gunslinger's favorite blonde singer. But anyway, the whole Britney Spears situation, because if you remember, way back when, Britney Spears was acting all crazy, shaving her head like she was on drugs, like she's trying to get rid of her hair and all that stuff to avoid drug testing and all this stuff that she was doing at the time. And then they put her in this conservatorship thing because they felt like she was a danger to herself, all right, because she was acting like she was going to commit suicide or something like that. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And just recently, she went back to a judge, and the judge said, well, you gotta let her out of this thing and let her be free. And, you know, she's acting crazy again, but that's neither here nor there. But again, this is, that was a relatively high, you know, kind of profile case of this conservatorship thing, is that, yeah, it can be used when it's used the right way, but will it be reused the right way in any thing, right? Will it be used the right way in every case? Probably not. You know, this the Britney Spears deal was probably the right use of this conservatorship thing, because she was definitely going to be a danger to herself, right? Now, people saying, well, talk about her money and all that stuff, but that's not the point. The point was, before this happened with Britney Spears, how was she acting? What was she doing before this happened with her, right? And the point was she was doing drugs and she was acting out and all this stuff. And that's the thing. You know, so in certain cases, yeah, it needs to be done, but the government is not the person to do it. It's probably better if somebody, like a family member, does it or something like that. You know, I'm not for taking people's freedom away, but if they're going to be a possible threat to themselves, you got to do what you got to do. And if they're refusing to take the medicines you know, that's going to keep them on an even keel, apparently, like Britney Spears apparently Britney Spears was refusing to take her meds, you know, then you got to do what you got to do, right?
Here's a question real quick. As an individual, did she not have the right to make the decision as to whether or not she took her meds, even if it killed her? I mean, no, we don't have to like it.
Well,
if her family, I'm sure, didn't like it, but isn't that to her? And I'm just going to kind of play devil's advocate too here, for the sake of healthy argument.
Well, she has a right to do anything she wants to. It's a free country. God gave you this thing called free will, okay? You can use it for good or you can use it for bad. It's up to you. Now, if you're in a mindset that you can't comprehend or process the situation that you're in, okay, then you're not going to be able to make a logical, reasonable decision, okay, because your mind is screwed up. Like I said, I'm a master electrician, retired engineer and all that shit, 20 years in the field, okay. I know electricity, and brain works on electricity, okay. It's a electrically generating living thing, okay. How do you think your heart beats? Your brain generates an electrical signal which shot down your nerves, and it shocks your heart muscle and makes it beat. Okay, that's a signal from the brain. Thinking, consciousness are electrical signals that are shooting across those neurons in your brain right now. So if you get a short of what we call in the electrical field, a short, something doesn't work, your lights doesn't come on, your refrigerator's out, something is wrong. Something is wrong with your electrical system, and that's why they call us to call in the electricians, because we light up the world, okay? We check your shorts out, no doubt about it. But in the middle, in the brain, I definitely check Britney Spears' shorts out. She gives no service charge. Thank you. But anyway, but with the mental aspect, you are internally shorting out. Your brain, there's something wrong, like Alzheimer's or dementia or something like that. It can affect anybody from children all the way up to people that are 100 years old, okay? It does. It sees no age. So when you have shorts in your brain and parts of your brain doesn't work or giving false signals, then you're not going to be able to make serious, you know, decisions like that. You're going to have somebody else, whether it's a family member, whether it's a government, because you have a right to do it. Sure, you have a right to go jump off a building. Go jump. See if I care. Okay? Mm-hmm. But if, as long as you don't hurt nobody, and as long as you don't land on my head when you jump off that 60-story skyscraper, and as long as you don't land on my head, that's fine. If you want to be a grease spot on the sidewalk, it's your choice. You made that choice. But
wouldn't that then apply to, if they're not able to make these decisions for whatever reason and they don't want the help, then as long as their actions are not impacting others, impacting other people's rights, then
shouldn't.
I mean, it's not a pleasant. I mean, we want to help people. We want to see them get better, and we want to do whatever is necessary. But when it comes down to, well, I think you need help, so I'm going to impose and I'm going to force my will upon you because I don't believe that what you're making healthy choices right now or that you can. I mean, you could even take that so far as to what we see in between left and right. People could sit there and say, this is your line of thinking. That's not a healthy way of thinking. We need to impose our thought process, our beliefs on you. And it's a little different, but it's the same type of imposition. There might be that, the mental aspect, there's actually something psychologically or physiologically going on, but to force that person to get help unwillingly or to make decisions for them, I'm not so sure. Mike, if you want to chime in too, and then we've got Nathan, Joe, and one other, a Skype caller that we'll bring on here one at a time in just a moment.
We're talking about the brain as an electrical thing. Well, when the brain stops getting the electrical impulses to the places, other places, what do they do? If you're dead, what do? They take the defibrillator, the paddles, warm them up, and put them on your chest, right? Or if it's just your heart that's malfunctioning, they'll stick in a pacemaker. And it works the same on the same principle, right? Gunslinger, the pacemaker. So again, but right. And again, we're talking about whether or not we believe how you believe is a mental disease. Well, I agree with you. I agree with you about that. But I do believe liberalism is a mental disease. Being a Democrat is a mental disease. But I'm not going to force them to start taking medicine for it. I'm not going to force them to get them. It's my belief that that's the case. But I'm not going to force them to go into a nut house or whatever to take their freedom away because I believe that it's a mental disease.
Well, now remember when you were a kid before you turned 18 years old, legal age, okay? Your parents made decisions for you because you were not capable or old enough to make decisions for yourself. Now, once you turn 18 and you move out and on your own, well, you're on your own. Your parents really doesn't have any say over you, okay? But until you turn 18 years of age in this country, your parents are responsible for your actions, okay, whether good, whether bad, either way. So it's just like giving a five-year-old child my loaded 9mm and say, go have fun. That five-year-old child is not mentally capable of understanding what a weapon is, much less how to use the thing, okay? There's no way.
Well, then
in
we're talking about minors, though. We're talking about minors versus adults.
We're still talking about a brain. We're still talking about a brain, whether you're a minor, whether you're 45 years old. It doesn't matter. Okay. It's still a brain. When you have that mental illness, you're acting like a five-year-old child because your brain's not functioning like a normal person would at 100% rating. Okay. It's only functioning at 80% or 60 or 50. So it's the same thing with if you give a 45-year-old a loaded fucking 9mm and say, go have fun. He or she is not able to make those logical mental decisions on, hey, this thing is not a toy. I can't go out there and go squirt, squirt and have fun. If I go squirt, squirt with this thing, I'm going to kill somebody. Okay? It's plain and simple. It's the way it is. Go ahead.
I would like to go ahead and bring on Nathan real quick, and then we've got a Skype caller and also Joe. So I'll give everybody an opportunity to kind of speak their piece and get everybody in here. So
right on.
See.
Yeah, I was just going to try to say the same thing. And by the way,
yep.
I came back. My phone hung up on me in mid-sentence. Those in the chat know that. But that's why I suddenly disappeared as my phone just hung up on me out of nowhere.
No worries.
So, yeah,
I just unmuted
Nathan.
Nathan.
Okay,
yep.
Good.
I'll
and
let you
then,
take it from here, Lori.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course.
Hey, Nathan.
Hey, listen, my mind's been on this, not this subject from the angle that you guys are talking about it tonight, but from the angle of all of our issues are cared for by the government, a local, state, federal, and this is part of our problem. And I thought of something this past week. I got on this subject because it came up and I was able to think on it some. Back whenever W was in, George W., they did, and I was able to catch some information on this, they did banking reform. And I was able to tip my dad off because he was putting his will together then. But they were doing banking reform, and at the end of it, they changed the way we behave and what we get to keep, you know. And one of the things they did, and this is what I'm saying, we don't need the government taking care of our local issues, whether they're mental, physical, or whatever, spiritual, you name it. Or you need a house or something. They let somebody at the local level. So when they finish with this stuff, one of the things that was in it that if you say for instance, and I knew a lady that this happened to her husband left her. She had two kids. She had to get on welfare. She got food stamps. She later got trained for a job and got off of all that stuff. And then she had a credit card. She maxed it out. She's making the minimum payments, and she just had to walk away from it because it was so much. It's just too big. She walked away from it. And then years later, her mom died from some abuse in an old folks home. and she hit a camera in there and caught these people doing stuff like the lady would ask for something and they would punch her and say no, I said no. And then one time this lady was changing her sheets with her in the bed, and she ended up rolling out of the bed, and she got some injuries and went to the hospital and eventually died. She got one of these ambulance chasing lawyers, won a little over $500,000. And as soon as it was declared she won, her lawyer said, look, there's a lot of liens on this money. She had to pay that the welfare, the child, which I don't understand why she had to pay it back. It was the government, the people's money that took care of her. But she had to pay that back, pay the food stamps back with interest, and the credit card with interest over all these years. She's in her mid-late 50s then. She walked away with just a little over $100,000. And right now, if you win the lottery, guess what? Before you collect it, they get their part. And this is what I'm getting to. It's the government that's involved in all of our lives. And this is just going to put more money to the top and make the rest of us buy lottery tickets because we hope to get rich someday. And it's just the government has a plan where they're in control of everything, and where you might want to take this friend of yours down and get them into some psychology, or maybe put them in a hospital for a while and to work through some issues. The government gets to decide. You know, we need to put you in this home here, and then at some point they might look at the budget and say, we need to give her a shot and let her expire. Call the family in and let them know she passed. You know, because it's all about the budget. But it just basically the government in all of our issues is they're in control of where it's going. I'll close with this. You know, we've always heard that saying, you know, it is what it is. And I heard a guy say this week, and I thought about it. And I said, no, it is what it was, and what it is what it's going to be. We need to be thinking about where we're at right now, you know. But that was just, I know I didn't want to get you off your subject, but I can see the answer to it is basically at all levels. The government, we're looking to the government, or they're looking to take it. They're taking that responsibility.
Yeah, and I think that it's out of place, you know, to allow the government more authority to literally rule over somebody. And then, you know, if we complain that our politicians are corrupt, that our judicial system is corrupt and abused, you know, and all that, then how can we grapple with the fact that we're going to be relying on those same corrupt systems to determine the fate of somebody's freedom via this conservatorship. And so with that, I want to go ahead and bring on Joe Gibson. He's been raising his hand quite a while. Give him the floor for a few minutes before we bring on the Skype caller. Joe Gibson,
you could skip me because I'm a little bit lost here in the conversation. So I'm just listening. I'll listen for now.
Well, I'd like to add I'd like to add another real quick thought. You know, I heard this week that heard a conversation, and one of the people in it said in 10 years, they're looking at 10 years, Social Security will be insolvent. And I was like, that's my retirement. I paid into that, and it's not going to be there. And then that made me mad because it reminded me that Reagan was the first president to borrow from Social Security. You know?
Yeah, I hear that too. Yeah, it's not a good situation with Social Security, but that's definitely, you know, a topic we can discuss later when we're talking about this conservatorship stuff. I'm going to go ahead and bring in Skype caller. Let's find out who the Skype caller is.
It's little old me, Lorianne.
John Doe, hello, hello, happy Sunday.
I kind
of
thought Lori Ann,
hey, Valerie, hey, Michael, hey, Gunslinger, hey, Nason, hey, Joe, everybody.
I'm impressed that you got everybody there.
Good job.
Well, there's probably a lot more listening I just don't know about yet.
Yeah, but you still got everybody that's on the call at the moment talking, so kudos there.
That's tough.
Well, I don't know about tough, but anyway, thank you for the vote of confidence, and great job, Val. Appreciate you coming on and helping out. Your heart, Lori's a hard act to follow, Lori Ann, excuse me. But, hey, you got to do your best and just be your unique self, and you'll do great. But, hey, here's the thing I wanted to share, too. There's another where at least once a week they deal with conservatorship, guardianship, and hospice care. And all of it's about how the rules have been manipulated to allow lawyers or other people to come in and take over the guardianship as the conservator, whoever the leader is, like the executor of the account of the estate. And so that's partly what was the problem when you guys were talking about with Britney Spears earlier. What you're not speaking about is there's people that were in her life that were trying to take control of her estate in order to bilk her out of her millions. Not only make it easier for people to be railroaded, because now they've foggied the mirror, so to speak, on what is a legitimate concern. And whenever you're talking about, well, the brain's neurons are not firing and this and that, you can't see the brain neurons. So you don't know. You're saying basically that the behavior that you think is wrong is because they're having brain problems. But who's normal? Who gets to decide what's normal? The one and only true God of all creation, all existence. And so therefore, whenever I want to love others as I want to be loved, then I'm going to let you make the decision as to what is going to be governing you by mutual assent. If I decide that I want to be a bully and use deceit to manipulate you, well, I'm evil. But if I'm not wanting to be a bully, but I want to be some just order in place in order for us to be able to harmoniously get along, then I'm a good person looking for peace and equitable relationship. In other words, if the rules, laws, processes, and procedures are going to be by a oligarchy of people who get elected into office, and they get to dictate the burdens, encumbrances, and obligations, and the criteria for which they get to determine that whether you are nuts or not, well, there's a lot of them in office now that say just because the fact you like a gun, you already need to be in a sane asylum because you want to be free, says that you should be a nut. And so we have to be real careful in evaluating our own position to make sure that we are not going to put ourselves in a position where your own family member, the people that know you best, your cousin or maybe your sister, says, oh, yeah, this guy's a nutbag because he's a gun freak, so we got to do something. And they go file a red flag order at the local place and say, okay, all these psychologists, and remember this too, all of these agencies, these three-letter agencies that get to oversee these psychologists and stuff, they start developing the criteria, but they don't include you and me in determining what that criteria is, which is actually a violation of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, because if you and I are all equal as independent, self-governing, free people, then we get our will mutually and reciprocally included in all rules, laws, processes, and procedures of governing. Otherwise, they're committing what's called extrinsic fraud. That's coercion, that's bullying, that's duress, and it's just downright wrong. So we have to keep that in play, and that's where I'm saying
around
this
in the background, if you can mute yourself, that'd be great. Sorry to interrupt you there, John.
No, that's all good, Lori Ann. I appreciate it, because people are talking, who's ever got the mic at that point, they tend to not be able to hear the background noise, and the rest of you are struggling to hear the person speak, so I appreciate it. But my point is that everybody – every one of us have the right to have our will mutually and reciprocally included to make sure that our pursuit of happiness is held up to the same quality standard, because otherwise the people who do have the gateway tools or capabilities to determine the rules, laws, processes, and procedures, they give themselves a high-speed fast lane to their pursuit of happiness, while you and the rest of us got to jump all kinds of hoops and hurdles and get roadblocks and speed bumps, and we're fighting just to have the same footing. But anyway, thanks for the time. There's a whole lot more that you guys probably can understand and bring to the table that I didn't see, or say it in a different way that will shed light on other people better. So I yield back to you. Thank you for the time.
I appreciate it. And I definitely have a few comments, too, because, you know, we – not only is the judicial system corrupt and stuff, but I'm reminded, you know, of a couple of things, of how Oregon's measure to – legalize pretty much all drugs, well, you know, decriminalize them, and they've been taking money from the legal marijuana fund, and I know I've talked about this before, to pay for the increased, you know, mental health counseling, mental health centers, all of that. So they've been collecting all this money, but they haven't been doing what they're supposed to be doing with this. So it's exasperating a mental health crisis by lack of facilities to help all of these people, and yet they're taking the money for it. And then number two, when it comes to conservatorship, like what California just did, and making it easier, how many times in the past have we seen mental health institutions be targets for experimentation, be targets for sterilization? You know, there has been a lot of abuse. It's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. Like, okay, they're in this mental health institution now, out of sight, out of mind. And then when we talk about the drugs, we have to think about the, you know, look at all the drugs out there and look at the side effects that they have, you know, even antidepressants. And so you get somebody into the mental health facility, and they're like ripe for the pharmaceutical companies to be like, hey, you know, we're going to incentivize, we're going to give you, you know, this new medication for, you know, PTSD or depression or schizophrenia or whatever. And those, you know, the person can walk in there being okay, yeah, you know, they got some mental problems, but then they're given the soup of drugs that make them even worse, pretty much guaranteeing that they'll probably never get out of there. And because they're out of sight, out of mind, they have no voice. You know, they don't have anybody representing them. And so I can just see this whole thing, you know, being just so ripe for abuse. Am I wrong about that? Anybody want to share your thoughts on that?
I agree with you, because that's part of what that one show I was sharing with you about the, on BTR. It's lawyers that are taking advantage of the system in order to become the legal executor and guardian over your estate, and then they get to pillage your assets under this deceitful process.
Anybody else?
Oh, man, I thought y'all hung up on me.
Yeah.
Nathan, I think that
weren't you the one that said to watch
that movie, which I did watch.
Yes.
I think you were the one that said,
that
Marlee Matlin
was in
Melissa Gilbert, and it was forced sterilization because, and she was to death, you know, actually, you know, so there's that problem as well. Like, there's a history of people who are deaf being deemed mentally unstable or mentally unfit, put into institutions, and then, you know, there is that history of sterilizing these women because, you know, the story is in that movie that, you know, this woman had a child, her child's taken from her, you know, and all this, and, you know, she was raped and stuff, and you know, so it's just one of those things that, you know, how do we rely on the state and these experts, you know, I think we've all learned from COVID how deceitful all of the experts are that we're supposed to rely on can become. And so I just see this conservatorship, you know, thing in California. I can see, you know, I was just wonder how long it's going to be before Oregon makes like the same kind of move, or other states start making some of these moves where, you know, it places even more authority over on the state to be able to take away our freedom without the person even committing a crime. You know, it's effectively like a red flag law, you know, for guns, but for mental health instead.
You know, something too, along with that movie, and if you want to give everybody some homework, I can put it in the chat room. But they had, I forgot what, I think it was like 200,000. These people had the idea, these punks at the top of the culture had the idea of by the year 2000 having no more than, I forgot what the population in America was, but it wasn't a real high population. But the other part is, I learned this, the three businessmen who created created the AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, they got together privately helping each other out because they feared that you know, when people find out that even though they were somebody in the culture, that they had drinking problems with alcohol, that somebody might try to do that to them. And so that, and out of that, that's why AA, you know, if they get honored, they'll never get honored in public. You know, they want to keep, you're coming there, your friends might know it, but they just still want to keep it, you know, closed.
Right. You know, and look.
Who else wants
Nathan
to comment?
Put that in?
Yeah, Nathan, if you can. Because I remember I watched it, and I'm just blanking on the name of it. But, yeah, go ahead and put the link to it, because I know it's free to watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's definitely a good movie.
Y'all got homework this week.
Now, Nathan, when Gunslinger there was talking about the brain being an electrical thing and there's shorts in the brain, you know, he's speaking from experience. He's a master electrician. He knows what he's talking about with that. Now, you know, you can basically tell who these people are that have these mental issues, you know. And, you know, I get what you're saying about the whole thing with Britney Spears and them trying to bilk her out of the millions. I get that. I'm not talking about that part of the case. I'm talking about how she was acting before and how she's acting now. And basically how she was acting before is how she's acting now. Trust her in terms of her. Right.
Yeah, look at that guy in the Congress. What is his name? John Fetterman, that looks like Frankenstein. You know, the big guy. Okay, look at him. He has mental illness. Okay, he can't even talk correctly. Okay, listen. Go look at these on YouTube. Don't believe it's from the Gunslinger. Go listen for yourself. I mean, he can't even. It's like, what? Who are you? Okay, he can't even comprehend what he's saying. So there's a classic example of mental illness right there. And he should not even be in that position of lawmaking and everything. Because he can't even talk to himself, for that matter.
look at President Poopy Pants.
Oh, there you go. There's another
one.
There's another one.
Well, who's that? That guy has had several aneurysms. Brain aneurysm.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And what does a brain aneurysm do, Gunslinger? It interrupts the flow of electricity.
Shorts the brain. Yep. Yeah, that's what it all basically boils down to, is
your brain is shorting out. Go pop two hot wires together and you'll get the same effect, only on a microscopic level. Okay? It's the same thing. Electricity is electricity. I don't care where it is. Your battery, in your brain, in your butt, I don't care. It's all works the same way. AC or DC, there's only two of them, okay? And this is a DC short in your body. Because you're composed of electricity. That's what makes you run. That's what makes you think. That's what makes you move. You twiggle your little toe down in there. There's an electrical shock going to your toe muscle telling it to go twiggle, twiggle, twiggle. Okay? Happens all every day. Go ahead.
I'd like to respond, Lorianne.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying, Gunslinger, and I do not question the method or the theory that you bring forth. What I'm questioning is the interpretation to how it applies to behavior, because each one of us have our own idea of what we think normal should be and what crazy is. And just because I see things from my myopic vision doesn't mean that I have a right to take the rights away from other people by using the government as a weapon to force that. Now, I can still think you're crazy, not you, because I actually agree with most everything you say. But the point that I'm like Fetterman, I may agree with his actions or his behavior make me question whether all of his mental faculties are in place. But I'm assuming that I understand there's a misfire there because my normal is different. So therefore, and I'm coming from a standpoint that I've had, they're dead now, but when I was growing up as a kid, I had a Down syndrome person in my family and a paraplegic, which they called retarded back in the 70s and whatnot. It'd be like calling Stephen Hawking an idiot just because he can't get around and function and he can't talk right. So therefore, that's what I'm saying. We got to be careful about our own bias and how we determine giving rule of law in our governing against people and not giving them the same privilege and immunity. You know, Article 4, Section 2 of the United States Constitution, the citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities as citizens in the several states. Article 1, Sections 9 and 10, no title of nobility. The First Amendment, Congress shall make no law abridging the right of the people to petition their government for redress of grievances. When you commit those violations, then you're saying that person is a second-class or third-class citizen, so therefore you or I making that statement have just basically said that we ourselves are not even worthy of the same privileges that we're denying somebody else. Does that make sense? Back to you.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, again, this is the point. The point is they probably should never have run. They knew Fetterman had these problems. They should never have run him. They knew Biden had these problems. They should never have run him. That's the point. They ran him anyway. That's abuse of a person. Go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish. My bad. I'm sorry.
The Democrats tend to abuse people with problems. I mean, we can see the problems with Fetterman. We can see the problems with Biden. We can see those problems. They're obvious. They're obvious to the eye. They're obvious to anybody who wants to see them. They're obvious, right? My point is that they should never have run them. That's in running these two guys, that's abusing these two guys. Fetterman, he's young enough that he can get past whatever the stroke is, whatever this that had happened to him. But he wasn't allowed to get past it. He shouldn't be serving in the Senate. He should be at a hospital getting over his stroke. That's where he should be. But no, they ran him. And they're abusing him by keeping him in office, okay? they ran Biden. They're accused, they're abusing him by keeping him in office, right? It's not Biden I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Democrats that run him. The Democrats, they don't care.
May I respond to you since you're responding to me?
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate your challenge in that position and what you're seeing. Here's my concern. Those people that elected those folks did not have the same view about him as you and I do. I agree with you. He, from my standpoint, he and Biden both were mentally incapable of carrying out their duties. Unfortunately, the other people who are in America that represent the voters that got them into office do not agree with you and I. And so, therefore, that's part of the struggle. When we allow a small oligarchy of people to get elected into office, and then they use these agencies to abuse us by using the government as a weapon to force their psychosis on us, well, they're going to argue that you and I are going to use the government to force our psychosis on them. That's why I keep preaching mutual assent. Remember the Declaration of Independence? We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. And then I just read to you the Articles 1, you know, Section 9 and 10, Article 4, Section 2, the First Amendment of the Constitution. And I didn't even get into the, you know, 13th Amendment and 14th and all these other, or the Fifth Amendment. I mean, there's all these balances of power that says nobody gets to dictate the burdens of governing over you but you and your creator. Anybody else doing that is committing fraud against you. It's fraudulent devolution, fraudulent confiscation, fraudulent conversion. Look those words up. They're legal issues. But people do it all the time, and that's our biggest problem. We've allowed this oligarchy of crap to happen since about 1808 because our founding fathers were dying off, and they weren't able to enlist enough people with the same knowledge they have to continue to educate us to how to maintain the republic. So we've lost it, and now we're using our own personal bias to beat each other over the head, and the people in the positions of gateway or power are using it as a divide-and-conquer strategy, and we just keep sucking on it. Thanks for the time,
Nathan. And Nathan, one other thing, Nathan, your point about the, when you mentioned redress of grievances, people say that January 6th was an insurrection, right? No, it wasn't an insurrection. It wasn't a riot. It was all about redress of grievances. Because we didn't get it in the courts, you know, and so, and we thought because of the Act of 1870, the Electoral Act of 1870, which they went back and changed, that he had the law said that he had the power to send these electors to the back to the states, right? Or send them to the Congress, which would end up sending them back to the states, right? So that's what January 6th was about, was redress of grievances. But they flipped it on his ass and said, no, it's an insurrection.
Well, here, you look at it like this too, okay? I just brought up Featherman, you know, Frankenstein, and Poopy Pants as example of the brain shorting out. We don't meet those two types of people every day. I've never met Biden. I don't want to. No, thank you. I don't want to meet the other idiot either because they're both idiots, okay? We're talking about the people out here in society. Every time you go to the post office, every time you go to the store, every time you go to Walmart, okay? These are the type of people that have the mental illness that are walking around among us, okay, that could snap at any given time because of their mental illness, okay? Look at Walmart, for example. There have been shootings in Walmart. There's been, you know, stabbings in the parking lot. I mean, just down about 10 miles from me from Walmart, they had a stabbing in the parking lot. I don't go to Walmart unless I have my gun on these days. I keep it concealed, okay? And you never know when these people are going to snap at their ends. I go to a restaurant over in Arlington called Golden Corral. Just a couple weeks ago, I thought there was somebody, two guys going to get into a fight. You know, they was cussing at each other and all this stuff. You don't know if these guys had a knife. You didn't know if they had a gun. You know what I did? I reached down and I placed my hand on my gun, okay, just in case. These are the type of people you have to deal with every day. Because, like I said, snap a pin into. That's how fast they can go. And they're going to take anybody out that they can that's around them. Look at YouTube all the time. They're always showing people this city, that city. All these people are doing this. Just over starting over nothing leads to a gunfight or a knife fight or something. It's people that are snap. And the more the economy goes to hell in a handbasket, the more you're going to see this. They're going to come out like the, you know, attack of the zombie apocalypse. It's coming. Go ahead.
And Gunslinger's point is a former talk show host on this that was on this on Block Talk Radio has anger problems, snaps at anything, and
yeah,
and will go on anything, including yep, including whether or not his equipment is working. Right, Gun?
Well, you know, this person in question is out of New York, not New York City, but New York State. And that's the only time that I agree with something with the New York SAFE Act. It keeps guns out of the hands of people that don't need them, that have mental problems. Okay. Man, think about if everybody, even these nutcases that have mental problems out there walking around carrying a gun. Man, I'm going to have to start carrying a machine gun then. That's the case, okay? But you never know. That's the problem. You never know. You can't – some person walking down the street, you may be just as nice as a guy. You may be the great – you know, hey, you know what's going on? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And turn around and has a pistol right there and pop you one in the chest. This is how society is degrading at this point. And it ain't going to be any better anytime. I'm sorry.
Gunslinger.
Yeah.
Part of the concern is, though, the more you continue to use the government as a weapon by continuing to burden and encumber and obligate people to stuff and not give them their due right of consent, you know, mutual assent, freedom of contract, freedom of conscience, freedom of association, freedom of choice, then you are pushing them in a corner and they are going to fight back and start shooting people. So they're naturally, you're going to put them in a position and you're going to say, see, they're crazy because you caused a problem by pushing them into the corner. That's what society's doing, and that's why we're going to continue to see more of it cycle and cycle and cycle, get worse and worse, because we keep putting rules, laws, processes, and procedures of burdening others against their will without their consent, and then we turn around and say that's the rule of law. No, it's not. That's the rule of man deceitfully masquerading under the color of law. It's a fraudulent devolution. It's an abusive process, abusive discretion. Those are all still legal terms. Thank you. Back to you.
Yeah.
May I say something real quick? There's
absolutely. You've been quiet for a while.
Well, there's two things that I kind of keep coming back to. You know, we are focused on mental health issues, but of course we hear about the shootings that take place or the violence that is perpetrated by those with mental health issues. But we don't hear much about those that perpetrate these acts without mental health issues. There are people on both, with and without, that commit these acts of violence against other people. Additionally, there's people with mental health issues that don't ever commit these acts. And so anytime we group a certain people and say, oh, this is only going to apply to you, that becomes a problem. And then the second issue is that if we truly stand for liberty, then how can we ever be okay with utilizing the government to take away the rights of an individual? So we are now we're imposing our concerns, our fears onto these other people, taking away their rights without any due process, without them having even committed a crime. We just think that they might. I mean, I think it's that movie Minority Report where, you know, oh, it spits out this, you're going to do this or you might do this, whatever the case was. I don't remember exactly. But if they haven't committed a crime yet.
Yeah, it's called pre-crime.
Why? Yeah, it's they haven't violated another person's rights. They are living their own life. Whether it is a quality one, well, that's not my, none of my business. But how, if we truly believe in liberty, then how can we utilize the government and be okay with the government taking away other people's rights before they have even done anything and without any form of due process? They can, you know, they can fight it afterwards, but that's the reverse of the way that it's supposed to be. That's all.
Right. And to your point about that, I've always said this about when everything was going on with the lockdowns and the this and the that, and after it, and then also when they were threatening to lock us down again and mask us and all that stuff, I said, look, if you're gonna try and force people to mask up, lockdown, and all that stuff, and take a shot, you're going to run up against, you're going door to door, and you're going to run up against a guy that's going to have a mental disease and that's carrying, and you're going to try to force him to do something that he doesn't want to do. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? You know, that guy with that gun is going to shoot your ass down. And if he lives in the state of Texas, well, or in other places that maybe have home protection or whatever it's called, that particular thing, well, he's going to probably stay with it. But that's my point. If somebody wants to come and try to force you to do what you don't want to do, and that's what they're talking about now. Another thing they're talking about is, we're getting back into the WHO, and there's a treaty that's out there or a law that's out there that says whatever the WHO says goes, and that's for everybody. Well, one, how are they going to enforce that? And two, you know, if they try and force to come go door to door and enforce that, saying, okay, you got to get a shot, all right, or we're going to lock you down or whatever it is, you know, how are they going to enforce that? And if they come try and enforce it here in Louisiana, in America, where people in certain states, people have the right to carry a gun and the right to bear arms and stuff, then what's going to happen is they're going to knock on the door and say, you got to get this shot, and the guy's going to whip out his gun, and that guy knocking on the door isn't going to be with us anymore. That's what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yep. But also, yeah. you can live. I guess you can live next door with somebody that has a mental illness, as long as they don't harm anybody. Okay, maybe they're out there talking to the birds. Maybe they're out there talking to the flowers. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Okay, I mean that's not going to hurt you if they're over there. You know. Dusting off the flower and dusting off your leaves on your tree or the trees or whatever with a little duster or whatever. Okay, kind of odd. Yeah.
No, vacuuming their lawn.
vacuuming their lawn or mowing the grass and then snow on the ground or something like that. Well, okay, you know, more power to you, buddy. But when you go out into society and you start acting this way at a mall, oh, you start dusting the leaves on the little potted plants on the mall. That is abnormality. You ever see anybody do that? No, that's not normal thinking and normal doing. And then it escalates, especially when you have drugs involved. Look at the streets of Kenya, Pennsylvania. Good God, that place. Some God ought to just come in there and just wipe that fucking place clean, okay? People standing over there like zombies. That's what I got from the zombie apocalypse. Okay? But, you know, if it's your right, if you want to go fuck up your mind and fuck up your life on dope,
hey, go do it. But if but don't go out there and pick up a weapon or a gun and says, Mr. Gunslinger, I'm going to rob your ass because I'm doped up and I need more hits and I need more stuff. I'm going to rob you. That's where the road meets the rubber meets the road. And
yeah, you
can't have that.
I wanted to make a comment too. Sorry. Oh, were you? You weren't quite done yet. Okay. Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm done.
Oh, I was going to say, like, you know, I can't help but think that, you know, the determination of mental illness, like, you know, how long before something like this conservatorship, you know, more loosely being allowed, how long before they come after, say, somebody that chooses to live off the grid? You know, they live in the middle of nowhere. They're doing perfect. They don't have electricity. They don't want to be on the grid. You know, they don't sign up for all this crap. You know what I mean? They you know, collect their own water. You know, they you know, do all that. And, oh, my gosh, well, that's an abnormal behavior. You know, very few people do that anymore. That's not normal. You know, how soon is somebody like that going to be, you know, maybe they're a conspiracy theorist. Maybe the whole reason why they live off the grid the way they do is, you know, because they're a conspiracy theorist, they're afraid of the NSA spying on them and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, if that behavior is deemed mental illness and the state can come in and say, oh, you know, we're going to have to institutionalize you, man. You know, we're going to have to make these decisions for you because the way you're living your life just isn't normal. It's substandard, you know. That kind of a thing. So, you know, there's this endless possibilities, as I'm saying, that I'm thinking of, where this could be totally abused. And like I said earlier, once you're institutionalized, once you're in there, it's out of sight, out of mind. Who do you have advocating for you? What's preventing that mental health institution from drugging you up to the point where you literally, you know, do become completely mentally incompetent because you're drugged up so much that you can't function and produce this never-ending cycle where, you know, once you're in there for life because they don't want to let you out. They're getting too much money for it, you know, because obviously, you know, even that article with California says that this is going to cost tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars to support this type of effort. And so when there's a financial incentive involved, you know, then that, you know, opens up the door even more for abuse.
Right. And look, to Nathan's point about Britney Spears, you know, Britney – Before they put her in that conservatorship, she was acting out and acting crazy and doing all this stuff and all that stuff, you know. And then they put her in, and then, well, they were building her for money, you know, and all that stuff. So obviously she was with it enough to know that they were building her money, and times, you know, so she got pissed off. She did what she did, and now she's back acting crazy again a little bit. And even though she can have a second part of her career, but that's neither here nor there. You know, obviously she was with it enough to figure that stuff out, but not with it enough to understand that when she got out, you know, you're out. You're done with this conservatorship. To actually go off and get herself some help. You know?
Well, go ahead.
Actually, real quick, time really flies. Hold your thought for a second. We got 3 minutes, less than 3 minutes. Holy for God. Anybody that's out there listening, call in now before we go into overtime, before this live show ends. You got about 2 minutes, 45 seconds to do so. 563-999-3698. And then real quickly, I want to highlight some of the awesome shows here on Blog Talk Radio. Some of the regulars, we got Joe Gibson's show that's usually on Tuesdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Fridays, I co-host with Robert, Conservative Nation Media. That's on typical 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern time that I co-host on. He has a great show. Donnie C. Show, Beyond the Mainstream, on Saturday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Jay Clark, he's in the chat. He usually has his shows kind of late night, midweek. And I forget what days, though, but they're usually midweek. And we have the Von Wee Hunt Show. He's in the chat room Thursday nights typically, and I believe Tuesday nights as well. And so you can check him out. So, yeah, we got a lot of fellow blog talkers out here. So, you know, pay attention. There's always something good. And, you know, there's so few conservative, you know, shows out there we need to give all these guys attention and you know, or even just like, you know, you don't even have to be conservative, just, you know, not, you know, a deranged, you know, someone that's so much as liberal and so much as, you know, like Vaughn said, World Health Organization, WHO equals Communist Front. And I think that there's a lot more out there that's, you know, pretty much advocating communism. Anyway, so I'm done with that rant anyways. You got 60 seconds left to call in, 563-999-3698. And go ahead. I open back up the floor. Thanks for letting me interrupt.
I was getting ready to speak.
Right now, Lori, I don't know when he's going to actually click on, but Ron Reck has started a show. So he's doing a show right now, too, at this point.
Yeah, Ron Reck. I'm sorry, I neglected to mention Ron Reck as well. Ron Reck usually throws on a late-night show several days a week. So keep an eye out for him when he decides to throw up a show, usually starting about 8 o'clock or so, typically, sometimes a little later. And so he's throwing up a show right now as well. And but oftentimes during the week when it's, you know, 8 o'clock or so my time here, Pacific time, I'll usually go to Blog Talk, go on live, and see if he's put up a show or not and try to join the conversation when I can.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Lori Ann. Can I go next?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Now, if anybody else wants to jump in, I mean, I don't want to dominate it. It's just it seems like this is a particular conversation that I'm very interested in. But as far as people like trying to do the old settlers way without having modern day utility services, you know, sewer and water and electric and all coming to your house, it's probably been 4 or 5, maybe 6 years ago. I don't remember exactly where it was, Kentucky, Tennessee. There's a guy that was doing that, and he was inviting all the school kids, grade school schools in his area to come out and see how the ancestors used to settle their land and operate and function and all. And the local municipality, you know, tried, I don't know what happened, outcome on that or not, but there's people already being railroaded like that. Now, the other aspect I wanted to bring up in response to, whenever we have these conservatorships and we're talking about the money and all that, that's all good and well, but even when it comes to the mental capacity of these people, it still gets down to the fact that we're allowing each other to use the government as a weapon to beat each other over the head. That's not a good way. Why are we not willing to use mutual assent? You know, if your will is equally important as my will, then you would want to stand up for the rule of law, saying that you get to have your will enacted, codified, and ratified also. Otherwise, one of us is a master and the other's a slave legislatively. And to get back to what Mike was saying, and this is another point, that when you talk about January the 6th being not an insurrection, here's my take on it. The psychopaths that we call congressmen and senators are the insurrectionists. They're interloping insurrectionists. They destroyed the legal effect of your private property. You own the self-governing of you per the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. And when they deny you your redress of grievance, they are actually destroying your legal effect of your private property. That's a felony. But because we have the ignorance in America, we are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so, therefore, if you got a handful of people like me calling the congressman and pitching it to them from a legal standpoint, how they're violating the law, but we have all the rest of these conversations that don't talk about it, they're going to continue to buffalo the masses of America because the doggone lawyers and the judges and the people involved in the system like their $200 billable hour, and they're going to milk it for all they can. And there's very few lawyers in this system that's willing to stand up and speak to it from the standpoint I do. So take that and, you know, don't forget about that perspective, too. Thank you. Back to you.
Well, let me add a little bit to that. I agree totally 100%. It's just, like I said, it just depends on the mindset, how quick that you can either snap or not snap. Politicians, it doesn't matter who you are. Real fast, I'll tell you this story about this buddy of mine, the guy that went to Vietnam. I think he went two tours or one tour or whatever. I was too young to go over there, thank God. Okay, I'm glad I missed that one. But when he came back, he was shell-shocked. He did all this, the VA, and all this good stuff and everything. But he did have enough mentality after he got back, because he was a school teacher before, after he got back to went ahead to get his journeyman electrician's license, okay? Because I used to help him on his job, and he helped him on mine. I pulled permits for him because he was a journeyman, blah, blah, blah. But we called his doctor one day out there at the VA, Dallas VA right here, okay, and we told him what he was doing. It was in his house. I've been over to his house a few times, and he's, because of his mental condition, he's not a crazy nut. He's still got a guardianship. I think some person in the VA is his guardian or whatever, but he still lives by himself, you know, can do house, feed, do the whole nine yards. But his whole house is covered in baby powder. It looks like it snowed, okay? But yet in the kitchen, there's one little area right around the sink that is spotless. You could eat off of it. And we called his doctor over there, and we asked him, what's going on here? And the lady said that because of his shell shockness and everything that he experienced in Vietnam, in his mind, he is still fighting the Viet Cong. He's still fighting them in his mind. He said, don't stop him. Don't stop him from cleaning that, because he's thinking that the germs are these Viet Cong that he was fighting over there. He said, don't ever stop him, because if you try to stop him, he'll turn on you. See how fast he can do? I mean, and there's thousands of people out there, tens of thousands of people out there like that. Go ahead. You know?
But Gunslinger, do you see how he would potentially see you as abnormal? Because we're throwing out the innocent until proven guilty. Just because you're fearful that somebody's going to snap and act a fool doesn't give us the right to circumvent their, you know, their rights and deny them their innocence until proven guilty. Otherwise, we are not worthy of innocent until proven guilty. And I'm not arguing the fact that this person is crazy. I'm just arguing the fact that who gets to decide whose criteria is the means at which we judge what crazy is. And that's where I have to be careful, because you don't want me deciding what the criteria is for all the rest of you. I mean, I'm a Jesus freak. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. Now, take this with a grain of salt. Up until I was about 19 years old, I started when I was like 8 or 9 getting into that stuff, and I ended up shooting up and dealing and all that stuff. But whenever the Lord came into my life, and changed me when I was like about 19 years old. I mean, I used to get in all kinds of trouble, went to jail and stuff. So and my dad was a police officer for a lot of that time, and then he was a deputy sheriff. So, I mean, and I got cousins and other people in my family that are in law enforcement. I got attorneys and judges in my family. So, I mean, I have people that I can justify some of my concerns about. And I got a lot of Democrats and libertarian, and even though I'm a registered Republican, I'm very libertarian-minded. But anyway, this food for thought, we want to be careful about our own personal bias being using the government as a weapon to force it on other people, because it could whiplash and be used against us. But thank you.
Very true.
Real
quick,
guilty, bro.
I'm going to go ahead and bring in the Alaskan who's been raising his hand for a little bit. And then we have Vaughn also raising his hand. I think this is the first time that Vaughn's called into my show. So welcome aboard. Welcome to the fold, both of you, Alaskan and Vaughn. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Lucid. Awesome show. Appreciate being here. Great times.
I'm glad to see that you called in and decided to check my show out. And sounds like you've been enjoying it, so that's good. That's good news.
Oh yeah, it's been great. And I think what the gunslinger was saying, and both those last callers were great. In my view, gunslinger is spot on in saying that he's saying that it. Just how I sort of translate it into my lingo. That a lot of the country's on edge, and this is when times are good, relatively good, right? And it's not going to take much to shake these people, because it's called like the normalcy bias, right? So once the normalcy for the normies goes down the drain, and let's say they can't gas up their truck or the car, or they lose their job, or you know, weird things happen in the news and things are closed that should be open. And a lot of weird things happen. We saw it a bit during the COVID era. But I think a lot of people next time could go nuts because they're on a – I mean, things are weird now with the crime wave. Now when things are relatively good, right? And if things were to go south on us in any way, especially, my God, you know, they were talking about on Friday, there's going to be a global jihad, and I brought it up on my show on Thursday night, lock and load America, right? But that's kind of what I see. I think a lot of people are on edge, and I didn't catch the name of the other caller, but he had some great points, too, in the sense of, people are out there, and you could be a policeman's son or a preacher's daughter, doesn't matter, right? You're going to experiment and do things. And the big joke on the street is sometimes the preacher's family is the worst, right? So those kids tend to go wild because they kind of grew up with a certain kind of a structure. But no, the calls have been great tonight, and I always try to learn something new. And awesome show, Lucid.
Can I ask Vaughn a question?
You. And then I also have Bringing It Boy E raising their hand. So I'm going to bring in Bringing It Boy E. Pretty sure it's Robert. Is this Robert and or Suzette?
Rob doesn't know who he is.
Sure I do.
On some days. Robert, does somebody have to take conservatorship over you? Welcome into the fray.
I'm not sure who you're talking about, whether it's Bringing It Boy or me. We're both Robert.
Yeah, I got to make a distinction.
This is Conservative Nation
Robert.
Media, Robert.
I try.
I was talking to you, Rob.
Oh, I know who I am most of the time.
I think when we're meaning bringing it boy, a lot of people refer to him as Robette because we never know whether it's Robert or Suzette, so we call him Robette.
like I said, he doesn't know who he is.
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Yeah, we got a full house going on here. I see Cinnamon is also in the switchboard but hasn't raised their hand, and another Skype caller as well. So we got a full house. This is nice to see. Okay, so sorry to interrupt y'all or break your thoughts for the moment while I was bringing people in. Definitely appreciate everybody calling in and contributing to the conversation. So I know I interrupted somebody that was trying to speak, so go ahead.
Well, Lori Ann, can I ask Vaughn a question? We hunt.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I followed you about 2 or 3 years ago, almost every Thursday, and then all of a sudden, and I call in always with the 111111 number. I never spoke on your show. But you just started kicking me off every time I called, and I was like going, okay, so I quit listening. So can we call back in and listen anymore?
Yeah, that's kind of funny. You can call in always and listen. The reason why I distinctly remember that, when you were calling in, I had about two trolls at the time who were playing phone games, and I thought you were one of the trolls. And I apologize to you because I know that you're not. But
with
what's your handle here in the chat room?
I was going to ask.
What name do you go by? I'm sorry?
I don't have a handle in the chat room. I'm John Doe on the calls, though.
Oh, okay. But so you aren't in the chat tonight?
Well, you don't see me in the chat tonight.
Okay. What's your first name's Robert?
I go by
Is that
John
what you said?
Doe. I go
John
by John
Doe.
Yeah, he goes by
okay.
John Doe, and he's never in the chat.
John
yeah.
Doe. Okay. I'm just curious, which state are you from?
I'm in America. That's all I go for.
Okay. No, I wasn't trying to pry. The reason why I was asking that question is a couple of the trolls were from Florida. And I thought back in the day I was combating these people. I had one guy, he's a troll on Blog Talk. If you ever get the guy that says be wise as serpents. He trolls a lot of shows. I've had to ban him like two or three times, his ISP address. So now that's the reason why, because I had some people who were calling and about the same time, and I think I just lumped you in. I thought, well, he's probably one of those trolls, you know. So also, the other reason why is that, John Doe, I don't mind if people come on my show with a nickname, but the reason why I probably did that also was because I like to know at least what your fake handle is, if that makes sense. If you call in totally anonymous, I don't know who you are. And a lot of the 111 numbers are from Washington, D.C., and I thought you were probably a Fed. So I don't want Feds to be obvious, because I always get that. It says 111 Washington, D.C. when we get our stats back, right? And so if I think you're a Fed, or if I think you're a troll, I ban them. That's what happened, because when I would ask for your name, you never said anything. And that, to me, was a red flag. Now, to you, you're trying to be secretive, and you don't want anyone to know your whereabouts. You might be off-grid. I totally get it. But from a host standpoint, with all the heat that we're getting putting out these shows, you can see from my point of view, too, we get people that try to attack the show, troll it, Feds listen in. And so when I said, hi, how's it going? If you don't say hi back, to me, I'm like, what is this? I mean, and who is this? And so, yeah, that's one of my rules is if I say, what's your name? Or, dude, just say, it's Bobby from Iowa, or it's John from New York. I don't care. I just want to hear something So I still have that thing where if I see the same number listed in, and they never, and they're never in the chat room, and they're, and they never want to say anything to me, to be honest, I think they're either recording the show, or they're fed, or they have a nefarious purpose. That's just me and my uber suspicious mind. You know?
Yeah. I never ever even pressed one to talk on your show. Yeah, I never ever even pressed one to talk on your show, and I don't remember you ever asking me anything. I just remember being kicked off. But I just listened.
Correct.
And I
kicked you off, yes.
But, I mean, I don't remember you ever talking to me or anything. I just, you know.
Oh, no.
But anyway,
I said
it don't
hello.
Matter. I don't want to make that this all about this show. Lori Ann's got
right,
a
right.
whole other agenda
you know, I was
for
saying,
this show. So.
I want to set the record straight that when you call my show, I always say, hello, you're on the live, on the Von Wien Show live. What's your name? Where are you from? You never heard that. I don't know why, because I said that pretty clearly. I distinctly recall you calling in. And,
well, I never did call
so it,
in to
yeah.
talk. I never did try to talk on your show. Just listen.
And that's fine. And all you had to say was, hey, my name is make up a name. My name's Richard. I just want to listen in. I'd say, great, Richard. Thanks a lot. Have a good night. And I would have moved on. But when I didn't hear anything and just total silence, it freaked me out. You know, because I don't know what you are. And when I see a 111 number, that's normally from. That's the code I normally get, again, from Washington, D.C. And I'm thinking, you're a Fed.
Yeah, and it's usually a Skype. Yeah. And, you know, I've noticed, too, you know, certain hosts run things certain ways. Some hosts rely on people to press one to raise their hand, and some don't, you know, and we'll just bring you on. So that's kind of something to get to know as well. I tend to rely on people to press one to raise their hand to let me know, you know, hey, yes, I want to say something, bring me into the fold, versus just kick back and listen, which is fine. The only thing I try to do is when the, you know, bonus hour is about to end and before my switchboard shuts down, then I will bring anybody that's muted, that's just been listening, I'll unmute them on my end before I lose the ability to, once the switchboard shuts down and we're in no man's land kind of a thing. And they can just stay muted on their end, that's fine. But I think most people know that if, you know, if they're hanging out and it's, you know, 5 minutes before I'm going to lose switchboard capability, I think most of them are, you know that I have that habit of unmuting them before I lose the ability to, just in case they do want to chime in. But, you know, I don't want them to be completely shut out without my ability to bring them into the fold.
I agree, Lori. And one thing, too, I wanted to say was it's cool if you want to sit back and not say a word on my show. The only thing I ask is that when I click on somebody's name and number, if I keep seeing the same number, if they don't say anything at all to me, it's a red flag to me. That's all. And just say, I want to listen, then I'll let you go. Then at least I know you're a live person and not a bot. You know, and there's good feds and bad feds. It's not about the fed thing, but that stuff, we all know they listen in on these shows. And so I used to listen to Radio KFNX in Phoenix, and we always had issues with electronic harassment and stuff of that nature, too. So my radar is up, so to speak, when that stuff happens.
Yeah, well, you know they can download the show anyway after it's over, unless you edit it before it gets posted.
Right. But I still want to know who's on. Who is there that I know? And if I don't see anybody that I know, I want to know. Okay, you're not in the chat room. You don't want to speak because most people are in either or, from my experience. If they aren't, they're at home listening, but they don't call in. So you would call in, and I saw your number on the studio board. And I simply said, oh, and see, on my show, new callers get first in line. So you were a new caller. That's why I kept saying, hi, what's your name? You know, to try to get you on the show. That's all, man. No harm and no foul. I know who you are now. That's cool.
If you ever have to worry about feds, just, you know, maybe change the topic a little bit and give them a bit of an education on something that they need to know that they're clearly ignoring or have forgotten.
Yep.
Always
absolutely.
That route, too. Take full advantage
yeah,
of it.
Maybe
hey,
their brain
might have
cells
feds on.
Expand a little bit.
let's provide an education if we might have some feds on.
The correct word, Lori, is they willfully disregard.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very true. Very true. At least, you know, at least I got to give credit to Blog Talk with when it comes to not attacking conservative shows like so many other places are. You know, I think that so far they've done a pretty good job of like staying out of it, you know, and not letting the trolls like, you know, go on some campaign to go, you need to shut this show down, blah, blah, blah. They're talking, you know, conservative voice. They're talking about guns, blah, blah, blah. And I think that, you know, so far so good with Blog Talk Radio allowing, you know, the freedom to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. And not censor us, you know, except for when, you know, we mysteriously have the show end for no apparent reason. That's happened a few times.
Yeah. And look, I remember way back when, you know, 10, 15 years ago, when we would see, like, Unknown or something like that in the chat room, in any one of these chat rooms, we would go, oh, hi, Mr. NSA, you know, hi, Mr. Fed, you know, as a joke, right? As a joke. So, yeah, it's one of those things that you don't know. If you look in your chat room and you don't see a particular name and you see something unknown, something like that, well, you know, even if it's a fake name, even if it's like unknown. John Doe is, I don't want to say legitimate, but John Doe is actually a name, and so it's not like unknown. It's not like some off-the-wall thing, you know, where you know it's a, if it's some off-the-wall thing, you know it's going to be a troll, right? You know that. So, yeah, it is what it is. By the way, this, Dan, the Alaskan, this is this guy that we call Santa. This is Santa Claus. Right, Boyd? Right, Alaskan?
Yeah, in the chat room, I see the Santa uniform.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah, but that's good to know for everybody else.
Yeah, and just so you would know, John Doe, like I put in the chat room there, I have to block literally two people a week off my Gab page because I don't know what's out there in the ether, but people want to attack the show or attack the callers. And so, like I said, my guard has been up the last year. And then we hear constantly from D.C. And Homeland Security and FBI and the whole nine yards. We're going to be monitoring these alt-right radio shows and these, you know, so they're beating those drums, right? And like I said in the chat room, when I see a 11111 kind of a number, and so I know everyone's welcome, but I just want to know, like, at least John Doe, just something, because otherwise it is kind of strange because I'm always thinking, what are they doing? What are they up to? I like everyone to be engaged in my show. I'm sure Lori feels the same way. Either call in. Once in a while, you should chime in. If you don't, that's all. I just think I'm not sure what they're up to, simply put. Yeah.
Just
well,
read them the Declaration
of
Independence.
I know that Robert. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Valerie, before I comment.
No, I was just saying just read them the Declaration of Independence. There you go.
Exactly.
Start reading the First Ten Amendments of the Constitution. Start reading from the Federalist Papers or the Anti-Federalist Papers, you know, something to...
Right. Well, it's just weird that I've noticed this trend in the last year or so where I've had some calls come into my show. I'm sure Lori said the same thing. And they have weird numbers. And I had, like I said, I had that one or a couple people that were constantly calling in, you know, trying to interrupt the show, and then I see the same thing on Gab, where people that have followed me for 2-3 years on Gab, get along great with them, all of a sudden they turn on you like a snake, right? And I'm going, I don't know what you people expect from a radio show or a Gab page, but there's something out there where I think people are getting frustrated because they're not seeing whatever things being done their way, and now they're lashing out against the host and the shows. And we're like really your last platform, seriously. Without these shows, you know, Ron Reck's show and Lori's and others, and my show, it's like it's a free speech platform. Without that, everyone's sunk in my book.
Exactly. And I know when talking about trolls, it was just a couple of weeks ago, I know Robert, Conservative Nation Media, knows full well about, you know, the troll campaigns. And, you know, he made me co-host, and I was helping him. We had trolls coming into the chat. It's like, and that was right after Warren got Blog Talk, you know, yanked his show from him. And so it's like there was a campaign of all his trolls to come in to try to disrupt his show. And, you know, so we had, like, one of the callers just, like, you know, like recycling and coming back in over and over, and then I'm blocking people in the chat room. And so, yeah, he's very familiar with that dynamic. You know, it's like once they get the word out, it's like they sent out a big memo to all of their leftist friends, like, you know, call in and troll this show. And so it was like, I know that night.
Well, that's what I mean.
To have me there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I've actually seen posts of leftists saying, hey, we have to attack Blog Talk Radio. We had got them off mainstream with their shows on there. And I mean, I've actually seen their posting about Blog Talk because there's no censor on Blog Talk and they don't like that. See, and you're right. There's actually campaigns of people that get on the phone, a little leftist Democrat group or whatever, a little commie group. And they want to call in and just disparage the show, attack the show, say everyone's stupid. And so, or you don't know if they're going to, like, if it could be, you know, it could be even more different. It could be a law firm trying to get you on hate, trying to sue the show for hate speech or something. There's always things that run through my mind. And I'm always going, I'm not sure what's up with this, but until they speak up, I'm not quite sure what I'm dealing with, you know.
I don't think any of
yeah,
us
I hear that.
Really until they speak up.
Robert speaks up now. Yay!
Right on.
Look, guys, we've talked about the other guy before, not Warren, this other guy, that anytime he's no longer BTR, but anytime a troll would show up in radio, he'd threaten to turn them in. He would always say, I have a friend with the FBI. I'm going to turn you in to the FBI or something like that, which was bullshit. But that was this other guy. So this is this other guy that has his mental problems and will snap. And he'll ask, and boy knows what I'm talking about. Most people on Blog Talk Radio, especially way back when, knew how to deal with the trolls. Just knew. You ignore them or you block them. Yeah, they may show up again, but you block them again, right? That's the way, you know. So, yeah.
The ultimate purpose for some of these people is exactly to disrupt these conversations. Their purpose is to prevent discussion about the truth. You know, if you're not, you know, following the status quo, you're not following the New World Order agenda, you're not following with, you know, what the CDC says or what Fauci says, you know, if you're going against that mainstream narrative, then it's like their life purpose, these trolls, is to prevent discussions about the truth, things that might actually, you know, explode their limited brains, you know, with truth.
You know,
the dynamic I sense.
they all work exactly the same, too.
Yeah, Lori, you were going to talk about the NWO and all this stuff earlier at the beginning of your show, but here's the deal. And it goes back. Every time we talk about this stuff, the NWO, the whole replacement theory with these illegal immigrants that want to replace the voters and all that stuff, you know, every time we talk about stuff like that, they call us conspiracy theory, even though they themselves will talk about it. They themselves will talk about, oh, I belong to this certain group, or they themselves will go, I mean, for instance, there's, when in talking about the replacement theory thing, there's a story, and I can't get at it because I've read too many things from the New York Times for free. But there is a story in the New York Times flat out calling, saying, we will replace them. Talking about the voters. Anytime somebody like, oh, Dan Bongino or somebody like that will talk about that stuff, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. You know, everything...
Well, yeah, you know what they say. You know, it might be a conspiracy theory now, but just wait 6 months, and it'll become a conspiracy fact.
Well, it's like you're going to the battle on D, right? You know, and all those headlines on the Babylon B, if that. Are supposed to be tongue-in-cheek, are supposed to be funny, but give a particular headline on that site time, and it's going to be true. That's the way it is. Yeah.
Can I comment?
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's another aspect, too. You know, it's just like whenever we had all the COVID stuff that was going on. Well, part of what they're trying to do is to eliminate the small businesses so that way the multinational globalist businesses can take up all the market share. And then they, whenever you apply for a job, they do all these psychological testing and they look at all of your social media, and then they'll do background checks on everything about your history, and they'll use other fraudulent companies to do part of the background check to get access, because like they just hire hackers stuff to find out about your medical records and stuff that they're not, or their financial records that they're not supposed to have access to. So that way, whenever they are picking who they want to interview, they just root out all of the people that do not agree with their philosophy to allow them to continue to be the multinational globalist dictators that they want to be. So anybody that shows any resistance or dissension towards the status quo, you either don't get interviewed, or, you know, if they do interview, you don't get hired. And you're, that's just another part of the scam that they're using the system on. So thank you for reminding me, Mike. Back to you guys.
Yep. Everything with this government is a scam. Everything with the NWO and all stuff is a scam.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, and all this shit, it's a scam. The courts are a scam. I can go down the list of everything in the thing, and everything is a scam. You know, the higher education, the colleges, all these, we got these billion-dollar, hundreds of million-dollar funds that basically tell, we could basically send your kid to our school for the whole time, not, and you don't have to pay, but no, don't do that. We want the money. It's a scam, you know. You know, high school. Oh, why, how people get paid now, teachers get paid in high school? They get paid because get paid on the number of heads or the number of butts in the seats. That's how they get paid. you know. If you aren't allowed to bust those seats, hey, that school's going to have to fire the teachers, fire some teachers that can't stay open without those in the seat. So it's a system, you know.
Anybody want to respond or comment? Now everybody falls asleep. I'm actually trying to upload a clip I wanted to play real quick that I know that Robert CNM will appreciate, so I'm a little bit distracted while I'm doing that, but I know it's a pretty short clip, but one that I want to get to before the switchboard shuts down in about 20 minutes. So go ahead. Anybody else have anything to say?
Not me right at the moment.
Well, I just wanted to reiterate, we have some downtime here, and say thank you, John Doe, for calling my show. So you know my reasoning behind it. I had to take some draconian action because about that time you were calling and I was getting a lot of strange phone calls, but I now know that the 111 number is John Doe. So the only thing I asked for on my show, I wanted a little bit differently, is that I want everyone to identify themselves, whether it's factual, truthful or not. I don't care. If you want to say you're Elvis Presley, I'm cool with that. I don't care. But if they call in, and if I see them, if I call on them, or if they're in the chat room, like we have some people that will do everything but say anything. And after a while, you're going, well, who is this person? Just the natural tendency is to type something in or call the show. So that's all. And I think that all those calls were coming in about the same time. That's all. It was kind of a timing issue. I mean, people can listen in at home and not dial in, right? They can just listen in on Blog Talk Radio. I think we have tens of thousands of people who we have no clue who they are, but that's all. And then people ask me after the show, they, you know, we'll talk on Telegram. They go, who was that guy that called in, or who was that guy in the chat room? I go, I don't really know. And after a while, I just go, you know. So,
and I'm sure when I first called into your show, you were probably hit up all over the place. Like, who's this lucid libertarian chick that called into your show?
Well, I knew you. Yeah, I mean, no, that was totally cool. It's like lucid libertarian. I said, welcome, you know. But it's always fun. But there are groups out there. Our people are really cool, but there are groups out there that I always have to remind folks that have nefarious agendas. And they don't like these Blog Talk shows, and they'll just sit there quietly and take notes, and you don't know if they're a reporter, I said, or a law firm, or the ADL, or a Fed, or whatever. And, yeah, they can download the show, but a lot of them will call, and that's all. It's just and we were getting a ton of stuff at one point, man, because when that election was going on, you know, a few years back in 2020, I mean, we were just being bombarded with stuff, you know.
And I think it's going to gear up again, too, because, you know, as the next election gets closer and closer, I think all of us hosts need to prepare ourselves for an onslaught of more activity from the trolls. With that said, I do have that clip uploaded that I wanted to play with Robert from Conservative Nation Media. He's in New Mexico, and so this one I wanted to play, now that I know that he's on the line. This is Colio Noir's latest one that he just put out yesterday. Biden-appointed judge approves New Mexico governor's concealed carry ban. I'm sure we're all going to love this one, but it's only about 3 minutes, so here we go.
Remember when the New Mexico governor did this? We turn now to New Mexico, where some gun rights advocates are fighting to overturn the governor's emergency public health order temporarily banning the carrying of firearms in public areas in the Albuquerque area. The ban includes residents with open and concealed firearms permits.
After the New Mexico governor lost her mind and tried to pass this blatantly unconstitutional law, a U.S. district judge by the name of David Herrera immediately blocked the governor's ability to enforce the law until they could have a hearing on the law. In the legal world, this is called a temporary restraining order. These types of blocks aren't common and are usually given when it involves a constitutional right where the government seemingly went entirely too damn far. Knowing that there was a high chance the court was going to call her law unconstitutional, 2 days after this happened, the governor of New Mexico scrambled and changed the law that banned concealed and open carry to only apply to carrying a gun in parks and playgrounds. This is the game the anti-gun politicians play. They'll pass laws that are blatantly unconstitutional, and as soon as the law gets taken to court, they quickly pull back the most egregious parts to seem more reasonable. They're like the raptors in Jurassic Park, testing different aspects of the Second Amendment, looking for weak points.
But they never attacked the same place twice. They were testing the fences for weaknesses systematically.
Keep in mind, this judge was appointed by Biden, so the New Mexico governor probably felt like she had an ally on the bench. And she kind of did, because just a couple of days ago, the same judge ruled that the amended ban fell into the sensitive places doctrine. The sensitive places doctrine are locations where guns can be prohibited without violating the Second Amendment. Examples include schools, government buildings, as established in the landmark Supreme Court case, District of Columbia v. Heller. Now, this is probably not a shocker to anyone, but I do not agree with this ruling, because if I'm going to be frank, it's stupid. Why would you be any less vulnerable at a park than anywhere else in your day-to-day life? Hell, I could argue you're more vulnerable at a park. Think about parents taking their kids to the park and want a gun so that they can protect their kids and themselves while they're at the park if something were to happen. Selling drugs is not only illegal at parks, but everywhere. But drug deals go down in parks every minute of the day. There's no one there to check who's carrying a gun at a park. There are no metal detectors. So the only people who are going to follow this law are the people willing to obey it. And as I've said time and time again, criminals don't obey laws. So the only people who will have guns at the park are the criminals, because it is a stupid law. Congratulations. You just made it easier for criminals and harder on the people we're not worried about. Guns aren't political. That's why I need your help getting this message to spread on YouTube by clicking the thumbs up button, leaving a comment to let me know what you think of the video, then subscribing to the channel. But most importantly, click that bell symbol. For products featured in this video, click the links in the description.
All right, there you have it. Robert, I give you the floor to comment, since that's right in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that one. But, you know, the funny part about that is that when she says that this law is only, that her new amended law is only for the parks and for the schools, the problem with this is with all the lawlessness that we've had in this city, especially from all of the homeless people that are all over the place, parents do not bring their kids to the parks anymore, period. You do not see kids in the park. So that one is a no-brainer. She's just trying to pass some shit on us that really shouldn't be passed. But then we have this judge who says, oh, yeah, she's okay on that one. Well, what we have now is all these liberal states where we got these liberal governors now who are sitting there watching this. They're saying, oh, boy, she got away with it. Now we can do it. And that's where this is going.
Yeah, and putting it under the flag of, you know, public health emergency. You know what I mean? It's blatantly being abused. You know, a public health emergency was never intended ever to be used for gun control. You know, it was for, hey, you know, we have a plague going on here, or there's a natural disaster going on here, you know. People are getting sick or poisoned water or something like that, you know, to declare a public health emergency, you know, not this. And I think that's another thing that is escaping a lot of people, is that it's opening the door for public health emergencies to be abused, you know, abusing the original intent.
Absolutely. But, you know, the problem with this whole thing is that she's talking about how this law only applies for Albuquerque. No, it doesn't. The way that they've got that worded, it can apply for this whole state. And that's where
the problem lies. Yeah, it's like, we're just going to focus on this area for now, you know. And then sit back and wait to expand it. Exactly. It keeps that door open.
I smell psychological and legislative grooming like a pervert.
Exactly. And she is.
I was wondering what that stench was.
My pastor in my church doesn't call her by name, calls her the Wicked Witch of the North. Because she's up in Santa Fe, which is north of here. Every time we have Charlie Kirk come to our church and talk, he won't name her either. He says she's not worth remembering what her name is. But she is worth remembering what she's trying to do so we can stop her.
Yeah, and then I think it was, what shooting was it? I'm forgetting right now, but the person deliberately selected that school because it was, you know, gun-free. It was the least secure, you know, targeting that, you know. And so it's by implementing this, you know, these safe spaces, these public safe spaces where you can't carry a firearm, openly or not, that's just making them targets. And that's what, you know, that's what people are failing to realize. All these anti-gunners, it's like you're just making that whole area sitting ducks when there's nobody there. And I'm reminded of Portland a couple of years ago where the local church that's like right up the street from me had an event up in Portland, right along the river at the park along there. So, of course, you know, it's a gun-free zone and stuff. And Antifa came along, and they started pepper spraying everybody that was in attendance. So, you know, there was little babies and small children. They didn't care, you know. And they were, you know, they came with, you know, they didn't come with guns, at least not that I know of. But, you know, they came with other things that they could use as weapons. And so, you know, the police were nowhere to be found. Of course, the police show up, you know, after the fact, after everybody had already dispersed. To my knowledge, there was no arrest. And it's like, you know, that right there, you know, that right there is an example of, you know what, Antifa would not have done that if they knew that people were going to be carrying there, you know, that people were going to have the right to defend themselves and their children from being pepper sprayed and attacked, you know. They wouldn't have even dared try it. And then in that same church, is that's the one that I went to, where I met Amber Richardson and a couple of other people that were running for governor at the time. And that church is very, very open about their being Second Amendment friendly. And that church was targeted. You know, they wanted to try to squash that. You know, that's a public space. It should be a gun-free zone. And they fought that. And so it was one of those things where it's like, that event with these GOP candidates did not get targeted. Why? Because that church, you know, everybody knows that if you walk into that church and you try to start some shit, you're going to have a whole room full of people that have firearms on them that will respond. You know, it was the safest place that I felt. You know, I was like, I feel perfectly safe here.
Yeah.
We are not sitting ducks in this church.
So in that church, if a bad guy comes in, he's going to leave holy?
Yeah, chances are pretty good that they'll meet their maker, for sure. Yeah, that's what I loved about that event. It was just one of those things, man. nobody came in to mess with anybody there because people were packing, you know, and it was obvious. You could walk around the room and you could see, you know, there's plenty of people there with their firearms in their holsters. I'm willing to bet there was a good number of women that had their pieces in their purse or, you know, one of the bra holsters or something. <You know? laughs> I loved it. What is that noise? Somebody grinding some gears?
Sounds like
a milkshake.
Soda or they're snoring.
I think it sounds more like a snore.
It's a weird sounding snore. Oh my goodness. Okay. So yeah, I'm glad that I was able to at least play that little clip.
Lorianne, it's one of them snores where he's sucking on the bottom of the, you know, milkshake drink.
That's what I was thinking.
There you go. Oh, but my goodness. Like I had like all kinds of links open and stuff. I'm kind of glad that we didn't really get into the Israeli conflicts too much tonight because we, you know, hit that up last week and that took up the majority of the conversation of the show. I did intend to get into some updates. Jamona didn't call in. You know, it's been an eventful week on that front as well, but it's just like, I think it's kind of like so many shows have been talking about it. It's already all over the news. I mean, you can't take, you know, five steps without something, seeing something or reading something or hearing something about it. And so, I'm actually pretty glad about how tonight went. You know, I didn't really anticipate that conservatorship conversation dominating the topic tonight, but I'm kind of glad that it did. It's a little bit refreshing to, like, talk about another issue that's going on that people aren't really focusing on. And I think that's also when we need to be the most aware. It's like, you know, that distraction element, you know, everybody's eyes are focused over here, and so that's when you need to kind of perk your ears and keep your eyes open elsewhere on, you know, the other crap that's going on. You know, what are people going to try to pull where they know everybody's distracted and something can fly under the radar, and then we won't find out about it until later?
Well, that's one of the things that I did with that clip that you just got through playing. Which is one of my daily updates that I do, the one I did on Friday. I actually went after her on that one, and that's what I talked about on my Thursday one that I did. And they're all on Rumble, so I'm sure people are seeing them.
Yeah, exactly. If you're out there, you know, he has a Rumble channel to like and follow and subscribe to. Another article that I saw that's worthy of discussion, and I know that we're almost into double overtime here, waves of climate lawsuits against oil companies are likely to drive up consumer energy costs. 8 states and dozens of municipalities have filed lawsuits against oil companies for damages alleged to have been caused by climate change. Climate activists hail the efforts as a means to hold fossil fuel companies accountable for damages suffered as a result of climate change. Critics say the suits are a means to enact policies banning and restricting fossil fuels that would never pass legislatures or ballot measures. And if successful, they will drive up energy costs for everyone. They're basically attempting to bankrupt industries that they don't like and force them to shut down, O.H. Skinner, executive director of the Alliance for Controlled Just the News. California made headlines last month with a lawsuit against ExxonMobil, Shell, BP, ConocoPhillips, and Chevron. The American Petroleum Institute and Industry Trade Group is also listed as a defendant. Richard Wiles, president of the Center for Climate Integrity, a nonprofit that tracks climate litigation, praised the lawsuit. California's decision to take big oil companies to court is a watershed moment in the rapidly expanding legal fight to hold major polluters accountable for decades of climate lies. Don't you love it? They're promoting climate lies themselves with the whole climate change agenda, while at the same time accusing the major polluters for decades of climate lies. You know, don't you love that duality that's going on there? Another one here that's local, Multnomah County, Oregon, which includes Portland, is one of many local governments suing fossil fuel companies. The Oregon suit accuses the companies of causing damages suffered during a heat dome event, which the suit argues wouldn't have happened if it were not for the carbon dioxide emissions from fossil fuels. The county is seeking $51 billion for measures to improve health care services and infrastructure to protect the country from future weather events. Yeah, so, you know, and the article goes on and on if you want to read it. But this one's another one. And what struck me almost immediately when I first read this article was, okay, so now the climate activists are going to use the same method as the anti-gunners are. You know, the anti-gunners are suing the manufacturers of the firearms when they're used in a mass shooting event and suing them as a means to bankrupt the manufacturers and or the means of increasing the prices of firearms so much so that they're out of reach for more and more majority of Americans. So they're using that same tactic now with these lawsuits going against oil companies and suing them for climate change and all that. So you just see the writing on the wall here and the angles that they're going after to try to get their way. Any thoughts?
Yeah, you're
everybody
right.
Awake out there?
Oh, we're absolutely awake. At least I am anyway. But I totally agree with you. You know, but one of the things that they do, you know, they will push their agenda on us and expect us to take it. But when we push back, it's not our right to do so. One of the things that happened tonight, my wife was doing DoorDash, and I was out with her. That's the reason why I didn't get here early enough. But we stopped at this store, and inside the store, they had this picture of Donald Trump, and in that picture, they had him sticking his finger up his butt, and it was really offensive. And my wife actually said something about it. And the guy wanted nothing to do with what she had to say, just absolutely nothing. He didn't want to hear what she had to say. He didn't want to hear anything except that picture was exactly what it should be. And that's the way liberals are. They do not want to hear an opposing voice, but they definitely want to push it on you, what they think.
Oh, I agree with that. The liberal Democrats and all the left-wing extremists, they want to make the extreme mainstream, I've always said, you know, in America. And, great show tonight, Lucid. And thanks for having me on. Everyone's – we're a lot of good callers and interesting stuff, you know. And this country is a shell, basically, of what it used to be, you know. We're like the thin blue line. The patriots in this country, and that's about the way it goes.
That is very true.
You're referring to the old BBC movie or television series, Thin Blue Line?
Yeah. You get the picture. Yeah. I mean, we're it. I mean, this country's so ripe for invasion. That used to be a conspiracy theory, you know, years ago. Hell, now the Chinese generals openly say we're going to conquer you. They openly say we're going to come over there. We have plans to invade Taiwan, plans to invade America. You know, they make it very, very open. Not right away. Not going to be tomorrow. But by 2035, it's supposed to happen. FYI. Mark your calendars, America.
From what I'm seeing living down here in New Mexico on the southern border, I see this. They are here. Just yesterday,
yeah,
they caught three Lebanese trying to cross over the border. All of the men that are trying to cross the border are age 20 to 40, military-aged men.
Yep.
And nobody's trying to stop them except for maybe governor of Texas.
Well, they want them in. Biden wants them in. Okay. This is all part of the plan, is to bring them in, have a little border patrol for a Band-Aid, and bring them in. Absolutely.
It's all part of the plan.
Yep. And there's tens of thousands that are over here now. I mean, I won't say millions, but I will say tens of thousands. And there's, like I mentioned on my show, 225 countries have come over. I mean, it's in the headlines every single day. And our Border Patrol, I mean, they're overwhelmed, right? These are guys making 50 grand a year with a badge. They're just overwhelmed. I mean, you can't expect them to, you know, to do anything big because they're going to get their hands slapped and they'll be written up at work if they act too egregious. So you either put the military on this border. It's a war zone. You know, as Senator Tom Cotton said, which I've been saying for years too, and if you don't do it, then we know they're all in on it. They're all part of it.
Another
both parties.
Another nefarious motive that I tend to think is being manipulated here too is by letting all of these immigrants in, it stresses out the system. We have already 40 some odd million people on the public dole with, you know, food stamps and SNAP and whatnot, and then another 49 or something million on unemployment. Well, when you flood the labor pool like that, I mean, naturally the multinational globalist corporations, which include most of all the oil companies too, they like to force the labor prices down that way in order to get the cheapest labor. But also, just for this, when you overwhelm a system like that and you already have so many people living out in their car or under a bridge or through a homeless shelter or whatnot, well, if the taxpayers like you and me have these people running around in your neighborhood and they start trying to steal from you, well, hopefully you're home to catch them, or at least, you know, you have, if you do see them and try to catch them, then you better be prepared for a fight. Some of them might use guns and weapons. Well, here's the part that they want to push. They can get more surveillance and put more lockdown. They can justify a bigger budget for intelligence and to put more cameras out and be able to have this, what do you call that show, Lorianne, Point of Interest? Remember with Jim Caviezel? That TV program?
Yeah,
that,
person of interest. Yeah, person of interest.
And so
still
when
one of my favorite
more,
shows. If you've never seen it, you should binge it somewhere. Person of interest. It's really good.
Yeah. And so when you have multiple people flooding the country like that and you got more people that's already on the public dole and these people that work on these day jobs, you know, they call them day labor guys. Shoot, man, they'll work on the construction site for the day, and then at night they're going back to this construction site, stealing their own employer's tools and supplies and stuff and creating more of a problem. And then after a while, you got more need for surveillance. We got to have more money to help make sure that we can have the rule of law and just fight this crime. Back to you.
Well, the rule of law is a joke, and I wrote in the chat room, the border is a joke, right? I mean, it's a Band-Aid, and America's really, really funny. They talk of, this country, I've always noticed, loves to talk a big, big game, but they don't back it up with anything. They love to talk, you know, strong borders, and I chastise both parties because the Republicans are famous for saying, well, you know, Bob, I lost the election, but by God, I stood by my principles. Well, that's great, Bob, but, you know, it's not going to get us very far down to the road. If you stand by your principles, then we lose our ass every time. Pardon my French, you know, but it's just one of those things where it's just a joke. And both the Republicans, to me, are what the Democrats were about 20 years ago. You know, they keep shifting left, left, left. And both parties are in on it because the Democrats want to, they think all the new brown masses are coming in are going to vote Democrat. And they're right. A lot of them are because they're all from socialist, heavy-handed governments, you know. And the Republicans want the free labor or the cheaper labor. And like you said, they want to push down the wages. Absolutely.
Yep.
It's all designed to attack the nuclear family and push down wages. Yep.
Well, of course, you bring up a topic that I absolutely love talking about Democrats and Republicans, because I will throw Republicans under the bus just as quickly as I will Democrats. But I actually need to call it a night here and get kiddos off to bed. But I have absolutely loved listening to everybody and talking to y'all and still getting to know everybody further. So I want to thank Lori for having me on here again, and thank everybody else for just civil conversations tonight. That was amazing. And it was really nice to be able to hear everybody be able to express their thoughts and their opinions and, you know, listen to each other. It was really good conversation. So thank you all. And, yeah, unfortunately, bummer. I would love to hear a Republican versus Democrat conversation, because that would be fun. But
there's
anyway.
Always next week.
Oh,
I would,
there we go.
There's always next week. But yeah, I want to thank you as well. Thank you for joining me, being my right hand, being my co-host, and, you know, like when my phone disconnected on me in mid-sentence, you obviously, you know, picked up the baton and took the reins of the show until I was able to get back on. I think that you're awesome. I think you're great. You're a big help to me. So just know that you're appreciated. And I do understand that you got to call it a night. You got kiddos to get to bed and get yourself settled after a weekend of camping. Thank you again. I hope you have a great rest of your night and a great week. And I really look forward to having you back on with me next week.
Yeah, I look forward to next week's conversations. So, y'all take care.
God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, Val.
Well, yep, I'm still here.
The Republican-Democrat thing is very easy. They're two sides of the same coin. One's playing the wingman for the other in order to fool the rest of us so they can continue to pull the wool over our eyes and fleece America.
That's true.
Like to call one the wolf and the other the wolf in sheep's clothing. That's how I describe the party.
They both switch parts depending on the issue so they can manipulate the system. One time one group's playing the good guy and the other one's playing the bad guy, and then they flip roles and play the different characters. Anyway, sweet dreams. Have a great week.
All right, you too.
Have you guys ever heard of Clyde Bivens?
Of who? I'm sorry.
Yeah, broke up. Come on again.
Have you guys ever heard of it?
Ever heard of what? You got cut off, so can you repeat?
Have you guys ever heard of Cloward and Pivens?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Cloward Pivens, yep.
Well, you are watching it unfold before your very eyes right now. That's what's going on.
Yep.
They want to overwhelm the system, McClure Pivot said. You want to overwhelm it, and they're doing a damn good job of it, you know.
Purposely.
And then for those of you that aren't familiar with it, let's see, there's a little bit of a document here. Do you want to describe what the Cloward-Priven strategy is for those that aren't familiar with it? Or I can.
Yeah, you overwhelm the system economically and collapse it. And by doing so, you've taken over. And what they are doing right now with all the illegal immigrants and everything that is against the law, come over here and go on the dole. But they are they are giving them all sorts of money, you know, and everything, when they are not supposed to be giving that to them.
Yeah, and I think the United, you know, if you're somebody working in the United States, you have to work for 10 years before you can even access those benefits. They're coming in and getting them just right off the bat.
Yeah, and if you are a wounded veteran or whatever, you in deep shit right now, because you are the bottom of the list.
Absolutely. And,
just like those folks in Chicago, you know, when they were bitching and complaining